Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of NBB Media's Sports Talk for the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome. Yes, we are going and blowing. There's no doubt it is Saturday morning, and we are jazzed to make this happen. And, of course, as is evidenced by our wonderful institution here, our intro music didn't start until, like, 8 seconds after. Maybe we can get it going again. We've chosen this one. Let's see if it'll work. I don't want to scream the intro again, but let's see. Oh, yes. It's Saturday morning. And the Wild Boys are on the hunt. It is Sports Talk with the Guys. Oh, yeah. Well, it is October. And that means it's playoff time. Always. As a matter of fact, I am. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. It is Saturday morning, and I am the scorekeeper. And it is a glorious Saturday morning. I've got to tell you, there's a lot of stuff going on in sports, in football, baseball, dare I even say basketball. They're in preseason. The NHL, oh my goodness, NASCAR, unbelievable. It is all happening. Give me a quick moment while I put the notice that we're on the air. The Wild Boys. Should I say that? Yeah, the Wild Boys of Sports Talk with the Guys. Whoops, all right. The Wild Boys of Sports Talk with the Guys. Oh, no, I shouldn't say that, no. We are the same guys. The Wild Boys, Sports Talk with the Guys. He's live! Three capital letters. Send it! I always pay my insurance on time, and I knew it was going to expire early this morning, so I always pay it online, like, before midnight. Well, I woke up this morning, and the first thing was, oh, you idiot. So I paid it before we went live, so now I'm all stressed and nervous, which is no big deal, because I know I'm okay now, but, jeez, come on, man. I hate being depressed. I hate being nervous. And this is just a stupid insurance payment. So hopefully everything will be okay. I am. What a start to the weekend. But hey, it's done. And life is good in the hood, so they say. But we're going to get to some news right now in the NFL. Of course, you know, Cleveland, 37-24 over Buffalo on the Thursday night game. And in the NHL, already stuff is going on, folks. Did you know that if you go to the NHL site, you can choose all these different languages? It says English. Oh, no, it could be English, Francais, Russum. I don't know what the one S-U-O-M-I is. Svenska? Wow. Sistina, Slovensia, and Deutsch. That's pretty cool. That's on the website. It's probably because it's only the first time. No, actually, it's there all the time because I hit English again, and it all the languages is played up there. Or remained up there. Sprechen Sie Deutsch? That was in from Red Dawn, the original Red Dawn. What's the point? You don't. Just talking to the commie, the Russian. So, yes, I'm full of all these television quotes and slurs and stuff. And I believe the Big Dog will be arriving shortly. I think I heard him out there. He tends to surprise me early in the morning. And it really is rather annoying. But, hey, like I said, it's all good, and we're going to make this happen right now, folks. Wow. It's a glorious, glorious Saturday morning. In NASCAR, I believe, well, I don't know what the ad-free race buddy is, but in NASCAR, we're going to give you some of the results and standings right now. I'm waiting for the big dog to show up because, like I said, he does it all the time. Race number 29, the AAA 400. It's official in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. The leader from Joe Gibbs Racing is Matt Kenseth, followed by Jimmy Johnson, who is 8 behind. Kyle Busch is 12. Kevin Harvick, 39, tied with Jeff Gordon, 39. Greg Biffle is 41. Ryan Newman, 48. Clint Bowyer, 51. Kurt Busch, 5. Dale Earnhardt Jr. of Hendrick Motorsports, 57. Kyle Edwards is 65. Joey Logano is 66. And, of course, Casey Kane is 78 points away, and there's been no up or down with him. And then, of course, Jamie McMurray is out of it. He's 1,330 behind. So, yeah, that's it. In the points, Jimmy Johnson and Kyle Busch switched. There was a difference of one. So that's why Jimmy Johnson's in second. Kevin Harvick gained 2 points. Jeff Gordon gained 3. Greg Biffle lost 1. Newman up 2. Bowyer up 2. Kurt Busch. Kurt Busch is the okay guy. Kyle Busch is the he who shall not be named. Kurt Busch is minus 2. Dale Earnhardt up 1. Carl Edwards lost 7. And Logano and Kane, yeah, whatever. They're where they belong, where they were before. So that's your NASCAR update. The next race at NASCAR is going to be, let us check it out. Next race, tomorrow, the Hollywood Casino 400 in Kansas Speedway, Kansas City. It's going to be on MSN, I'm sorry, ESPN, MRN. It's going to be at 8, oh, of course, at the Charlotte Motor Speedway tonight, the Bank of America 500. It's going to be at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And then, of course, at 1 p.m. Eastern, the Camping World RV Sales 500. And then on, oh, I'm sorry, take it back. On October 6th, the Hollywood Casino 400, Kansas City Speedway. Then the next one is on the 12th, you know, through the holiday weekend. And then you have October 20th and 27th. So, schedule is nearing the end, folks. Nice try. Nice try, Big Dog. Good morning. I was raring.
You're waiting for me, huh?
Hey, kind of. After being scared like 89 million times in a row, you know, it must end eventually.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, I heard you out there. As quiet as you try to be.
As it is all the time. Just like it must end for the Texas Rangers.
It's over.
Yes, it is. After they won, what, 7 in a row to make it into that one game?
That's sucky.
To the one game, one game?
Yeah, that's sucky.
But good for them. But such is life.
Indeed, Big Dog. But good morning there, lad.
Glad to have you on with us this morning.
I was letting everyone know that your arrival was imminent. Well, I did not say imminent. I did say he's coming in.
My arrival was forthcoming?
At the time that I mentioned it, yes.
And I was going to be here, too.
Yeah. And that's about it. So I did some NASCAR, and that's all I got going right now. We were going to also, while the Big Dog gets set up, and he plugs in, and he does what he has to. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go over some standings already in the NHL. As you know, the season has begun. In the NHL Eastern Conference, in the Atlantic, Toronto is 2-0, followed by Detroit. Everyone else doesn't matter. In the Metropolitan, Pittsburgh is 1-0, yes, and the Islanders are 1-0.
What is the name of the hell Metropolitan?
It's been a little while now, Big Dog. It's going to show you how much we've been paying attention.
Shows how much they're New Yorkers.
Yeah, they just call it that. Of course, Pittsburgh is 1-0, the Islanders are 1-0, and again, whatever. In the Central, in the NHL Western Conference, you have Colorado 2-0, Winnipeg 2-0, Chicago and St. Louis are 1-0, ladies and gentlemen. And then, of course, in the Pacific, you have Calgary, Phoenix, San Jose, who are 1-0, followed by the Los Angeles Kings, 1-1, and, like, it matters to everyone else. So, that's what you have, and I'm sure we could have done the points thing, but I'm ruling it. You know, I thought ties should have meant something, but they got rid of that in the NHL a long time ago. Big Dog, you're reading the breaking news.
Just came in, and Dwight Howard says he can't be stupid to be Defensive Player of the Year after Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's criticism.
Oh, there was some criticism by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
And the funny thing is, after all that was said and done with that article and that video, no one's disagreeing with Kareem. No one's saying he's bitter. No one's saying, you know, sour grapes because he left the Lakers. Everybody's like, yeah, pretty much what he said is true. Yeah.
Why don't you tell us what he said there, Zig Dog?
Just
to paraphrase, because I know you didn't expect to go into that right away.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry. You should mark them.
No, this one.
That one's mine? Why does that one smell? What is the smell of regular coffee by French Vanilla?
Oh.
Remember, I like flavored.
I do, too.
What are you trying to say?
No, nothing. Back to Kareem.
No! Hold on a minute. That was significant.
No.
He inhaled the whiffs of the coffee. He said, wait, hold on.
That's yours.
That's not yours. All right, that's yours. And then he took a whiff of it. Did you wish to reconsider?
Oh, yeah.
All right. The faces he made right now was absolutely amusing while I was going through my soliloquy, so I do apologize. I am Dr. Cox from Scrubs, aren't I? I am Dr. Cox incarnate. Dr. Cox incarnate. You sure now?
No.
Really? Well, let me get a whiff.
That should be regular.
Well, that one.
And that should be French.
Oh, hell yeah. How the hell could you not smell that?
It's early.
Are you desensitized?
It's early.
At this hour of the morning? How the hell could you not smell that? No, it's funny. It's because you've already been inhaling some of it. It's the thing about perfume, right? You can only have so much perfume before your nose is inundated. So that's what the French vanilla did to you. Big Dog, I want to thank you this morning. You brought a sausage biscuit and a cheese muffin.
Yes.
And if I may ask, I do like flavor. You could start dumping these and bring me the French vanilla too.
Okay. Well, I can share.
No. It's okay. I love what I have. I'm thrilled to receive what I'm having. I am just asking the waiter next time on the refill.
Yeah, buddy. Maybe reconsider.
Just for next time. It's all good. I am thrilled that the Big Dog brings drinks in the morning and. Good, but going back to my soliloquy, I don't know what the hell it was. Scorekeeper like a tangent, you know? No, I'm not like a tangent. I am a tangent. And I'm in a hell of a good mood, Big Dog.
Yes, you are.
Can you tell? I was so up that I was expecting. I think you're, Big Dog, for being as big as he is, this SOB right here has the softest depth. Yeah, that little smile. That was a Yogi Bear smile. I'm like, that's right, Ranger Smith.
That's right. Kareem said...
Oh, thank you. I was never going to get... I was like, NASCAR. What were we on NASCAR?
Well, this is a direct quote from Kareem. Dwight is an extraordinary athlete and has incredible athletic ability, but basketball is a game where the most important muscle that you use on the court is the one between your ears. Dwight's basketball IQ is not up to the speed for him to be a dominant player or a championship player. He doesn't know where he's at.
Can you read me that one more time just for the dullest faint of heart and the couch potatoes in the chat room?
Dwight's basketball IQ is not up to speed for him to be a dominant player or a championship player. He said that a few years ago, when the Lakers were going to face the Orlando Magic in the finals, and he had the coach and give advice to Paul Gasol and Andrew Bynum, he said it was extremely easy to give the advice because he said all you have to do is a few small subtle things and it takes away Dwight's dominance. He says, and Dwight doesn't, and this is so very, very true. Dwight does not have a go-to move, you know, a la...
Well, I'm sorry, whoa, is this an internal NDB media meeting and you're discussing my ability to call a program? I lost myself there. Are we having another management intervention meeting?
So,
because apparently I don't have a go-to move.
He said that...
Whoa, are you trying to get back at me for our meeting last time? And you're bringing up the fact that he doesn't have a go-to move, now you're bringing it up back to me?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
I'm not playing a lot.
I can tell. Good morning, Couch Potato. You're having a good time this morning, as we all are.
Of course, Dwight answered back, you can't win three Defensive Players of the Year trophies to be and be stupid, but that can't be done. Because I don't think any coach that will ever has ever coached me says I don't have. He goes, that I don't think there has ever been a coach.
Yeah, thank you, Dwight Howard. Now get out.
Then I said I have a low basketball IQ.
So
they're going a little bit back and forth now. So
how many sugars do you want?
I just need one.
Oh, I guess I need one too, but I'm actually gonna take two.
So
7-Eleven on Atlantic and Abbott, Northeast Corner. Thank you. Unless they want to sponsor us. Somebody reach out to them officially. Okay, I reached out to Thomas. I want to thank Thomas for all of his hard work this weekend. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Tim, our sales manager. Our sales
leader.
Yes. Person. Our group head. He is having some heart issues right now.
I don't even have to say empathize. I can sympathize with that.
Actually, Big Dog, I was down with vertigo all week for 4 days.
Took a movie.
Yeah, I wish I was watching the movie. I was actually living, what's that, Inception. The vertigo was so bad that I had my own Inception.
Woo-hoo.
That was no fun. For those of you that know and don't know, I have been out for 4 days. It was pretty bad on Tuesday. I actually fell twice. It was that bad, the nausea. And it was no fun. I couldn't even walk down the hall. Walking down the hall wanted me. So it was that bad, dude. And I had nothing in my stomach, and you just wanted to. It was no fun. 4 days. That's why I'm like, yeah, baby. I feel good. No dizziness. So I was cracking all the jokes, you know, very quietly, that since I'm disabled with vertigo, do I need a blue placard? Too far. I'm big on the blue placards right now. Because before, all I needed was Joe Estrada, my good buddy in the seminary. And had we been pulled over by a cop, I would have just, look, probably, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't know you had Looney Tunes with you. I apologize, sir. Go on your way. Park there all you want. And if anyone offends you in any way, why don't you have them call me? Yes, officer. Thank you for your sympathy and your understanding. That conversation happened many times in our youth.
I'm sorry, I'm reading Korean.
I know.
This was Dwight's answer also afterwards.
Oh,
he said,
there's more for
yes.
The uninitiated?
He said, there is no need for me to go back and forth with him, Howard said. One thing I would say is that he's old enough to where whatever I do shouldn't even matter to him. He's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. If I'm Kareem, I'm like, why? 4 championships, 5 championships, whatever. And it's 6, by the way, Dwight.
Did you say that? Or did the sports writer say that?
I said
that. He has it.
Kareem, yes,
he only has 5.
No,
oh.
5 with the Lakers, 1 with Milwaukee.
Yeah, ooh, Lakers. I bow to you again. I bow to you. There's no camera in here.
He says,
I
can't
bow.
Well, once again, he goes, if I'm Kareem, he goes, I would be saying, I've been in an airplane. I've done movies with Bruce Lee. I'm not worried about the young whippersnappers. I wish him good luck.
Well, he did that movie with Bruce Lee.
Yes.
He also did Airplane.
That's what I just said. I'm in an airplane.
You did it. I haven't had my hit. Oh, I've been updated for a little while now, unfortunately. I don't like it.
Yeah, I know. It's
a battery suck.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. Does this thing suck batteries more so than a... Oh, okay, forget it.
Than a hooker on Melrose?
Yeah.
Here's the line. Dwight so far has averaged for his career 18.3, 12.9 rebounds, and 2.2 blocks in his 9-year career.
18 points, really? That's not bad at all.
18.3.
Or 18.
Yeah. And just under 12, just under 13 at 12.9.
Honestly,
rebounds.
Points is pretty good, huh?
Kareem's line for 20 years in the league.
30?
24.6 points, 11.2 rebounds, and 2.6 blocks over a 20-year career.
Do you know statistically what that .6 means to your .2?
A lot of blocks.
I said,
So the only thing, you know,
he's already got 90 years, and he's at 2.2. He's gonna have to work his ass off. Actually, he could.
Yeah.
Well, no, it'll take years for him to get up there. But
oh,
anyway.
Yes. Yeah, it would take him a while. He'd have to average like four blocks a game.
Yeah, actually,
for the next like 3-4 years,
he could get it up there to like 0.3. Just kidding.
But anyway, so I mean, the whole thing
is based on games or minutes. It's games, huh?
Games per game.
And he already has 9 years.
9 years in, yes.
Ooh.
2.2.
But he missed like a year and a half.
No.
Wasn't he hurt like quite a bit?
Well, this past year he was hurt, but he still put in an 82-game season. I still believe he put in, I believe it was 72 games or 70 games.
Fine. I never take Kareem's side.
Why?
I never do.
Why?
Because I just don't want to.
You don't like Kareem?
What the hell is Constantino saying, have you seen a grown man naked? Oh, airplane. But that's not Kareem that asked that question.
No, it's not.
It is the very famous Mission Impossible captain.
Oh, yeah.
Who unbelievably always played straight role. Mr. Drama. And he was so good in the Airplane movies.
That's just a... It's an iconic movie, so...
Well, Nielsen was also in it, and he played the doc. Don't call me Shirley. Don't call me Shirley.
Shirley, you must, yes. Don't call me Shirley.
What's our vector, Victor? What's our clearance? Roger, Roger. Sorry.
And what?
The lamest, but yet funniest.
It was lame, but at the same time, it worked because no one had done it anymore.
Yeah, actually, I don't know if it's lame. That's too harsh criticism. It was funny.
Oh, no.
It was funny then, and it is funny now. Airplane, I mean, how cute. The stupid thing begins with the clouds and the music. Josh. And you see the tailspin. I mean, it was funny, folks. But anyway, speaking of
funny?
Yeah. That was a hell of an intro. No, we didn't get that good, but we got the second best.
All right.
Rookie.
Just a good old boy.
Oh, no, all right.
Never meaning no harm.
This will get frightened. Oh, no.
Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they were born. Straightening the curve.
He gets all his love from Cujo. And peanut butter.
What's going on,
What's up, Brian?
Hold on a minute, Brian. What the hell is this crap that he gets all the love that he needs from you? What the hell is that?
That's right.
What are you talking about?
That's what I want to know. What the hell?
What's up, Brian? What's on tap for today on TV?
Oh, man. If you love college football, man, get ready today. It's coming. And not only that, tomorrow, the biggest day in the NFL that I can remember. How many good games. So I know you guys will be interested at 10:30 Eastern, Stanford hosting Washington. That's a big game in the Pac-12. I'm sure you guys will be watching.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, Brian, of course.
But I had to get your thoughts, guys, real quick. I know you guys out in California, what has everybody said about Lane Kiffin being fired on the airplane?
Happy trail to you. Actually, it's been very... Sorry. No, actually, it's been pretty damn quiet.
Yeah,
it really is.
Everyone knew it was coming. Everyone knew, you know...
It was kind of like knowing where the hooker on Melrose is and knowing how much she was going to charge.
SC is one of those institutions that they're all about winning. You know, they're up there with Notre Dame and Bama and, you know, Texas A&M and all those other, you know, big schools. That's all they want to do is win. You don't win, see ya.
Yeah, and Brian, it had everything to do with the fact that who beat him and by how much. He'd probably still have a job if it wasn't such a huge blowout, honestly. But
if you lose to Georgia Tech, you lose to Washington State, and you're Southern California, that should never happen. That should never happen if you're Auburn, much less Southern California, one of the best traditions. I mean, just one of the most prominent schools in history of college football. Why did they even hire him to begin with? That's what I'm wanting to know. He should have never been hired for that position anyway. It was over his head.
I mean, Brian, I'm not being sarcastic. He was way above over. Wasn't he a coach somewhere else, though?
Yeah, he coached at the Raiders for a year until Al Davis blasted him, fired him, and got him out of there. But it was Oakland. But then he went to Tennessee, and he really wasn't winning there. And then he just left in the middle of the night and went to Southern California. So if you look through his track record, he's never won anywhere he's been. Except one year at Southern Cal, he went 10 games.
Wow. Hey, Brian, is it possible that he is done as a head coach?
No. I think he's going to come back to a smaller school, and the guy can recruit. If you're out there and you're a big-time program and he's not head coaching right now, go get him because he's one of the best recruiters in the country. And he's like Ron Zook for Florida. He could recruit all the talent to Florida, but he just couldn't win with them. And I think if you're Alabama, somebody like that, go out and get Lane Kiffin to come be an assistant coach on your staff and be able to recruit. So he'll have a job probably in the next – by next year, he'll be a head coach or a top assistant coach at a big-time program.
Yeah, and I think the reason why, too, that they got him only because he was a known name, especially since he was with the Raiders. You know,
he does elicit an incredible amount of sympathy in Southern California.
Exactly, and the fact that Pete Carroll, you know, ran before all the sanctions could come in. They needed a coach right then and there, and they needed a high-profile name. So he kind of lucked into this one, but... You know, as you said, he can recruit like crazy, but he can't come through with it, so.
So is that kind of like the guy who is on the fantasy football league, he gets the lucky first draft, gets the best team, but he ends up in last? Is that what you guys are telling me? It's like that guy that brags about having the best players and then just sucks throughout the season? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Here's a story. It's kind of like the guy that, you know, he's an ugly guy. He gets the beautiful girl, the model to come home with him, and he gets ready to make love to her. He pulls it out, and he's got about an inch. So he really can't do nothing with what he has. So that's really how I look at it.
You know, thank God there was no camera here. Because when you started that analogy, I was all pumping out my chest. I'm like, yeah, go on. What do you inch? Man, I think I became the Hunchback of Notre Dame. That's not my story. Oh, my goodness. That was funny. Again, thank God we didn't have a camera here this morning. That was good, Brian. You made the big dog almost choke on his coffee on that one. That was funny. It was. I beg to interrupt real quick. He's in the chat room. He is our favorite. He was our first gentleman before Bryce showed up. But are you ready to go there, Big Dog? He's a northern gentleman.
He is a northern gentleman?
Or a southern gentleman.
So he's like northern exposure and this is southern exposure?
Oh, God.
Hey, it happens.
You ready, Big Dog?
I've been over.
Are you ready? Don't ever say that about Tim. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Tim, put the song on.
Why the hell do I have to?
Tim, put the song on backwards, though. That's the only problem. You know, that's a Canadian thing.
Don't. Oh, you bastard!
And then doesn't change.
Shut up!
And then doesn't change.
Shut up! Going more for Mike, son of a.
And here he comes, coming out of that ridge. It's getting cold because winter's on its way. And he's a frozen tundra. Horse is not going to be happy. Snail's not going to be happy. But Tim will be happy because baseball will soon be back.
Because you were reaching.
Well, because, you know, it's winter time, so after the winter's over, baseball is back.
Hockey has started up there. You know, Big Dog, I was doing good on not putting that image in my mind about the song backwards, but Tim, I'm sorry. It gave up. Sorry.
You like picturing Tim in a song?
No, I did my best not to picture him in a song. Brian, just be cool about this, right? We got to get through it. I apologize, Brian. Oh, God, Kim and the Thong. Okay, I'm good. Anyway, all right there, Big Dog. Thanks for taking us down that road. So, Brian, what is the big game of the day, please? And we want to thank you for calling in, because this is Brian Tarvin, otherwise known as The Tarvino, world-renowned man of Way In Sports, a featured host here on Blog Talk Radio.
One of the hottest sports shows on Blog Talk Radio.
And dare I say, the hottest, because he is the only sports show that is picked regularly. The only one that can give him a run for his money would be NDB Media, I think, but we do everything else.
We never get picked for sports because we suck. But not Brian. So I think Brian is trying to exude his pressure and his love by showing up here. So I'll take it. Brian, weigh in sports every Wednesday and Sunday night at 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern. What's the big game of the day, Brian?
You better be there, you bastard.
You better be there.
You son of a... We lost Brian. Oh, my God, that was the biggest blowjob on air, and we lost him. Oh, my God. Son of a... Oh, my God. Even Kim's laughing on that. Oh my God!
I just came in under the biggest, you know, the first thing I hear, the biggest blowjob in the world. That's a good way to start this conversation off.
My God, Sonny, you're gonna have to go back and listen to the archive. I blew him so hard on air, and I know to Brian and silent. And I'm like, oh, you son of a bitch, you better be there. And I went to the switchboard and he was gone. Like, oh.
He pops in and out. That's the way his phone works, I think. Or just because, you know, a lot of times he's driving around and he gets out of the car and stuff, so he hangs up.
Tim, thank you for that. That was a good intro for the Couch Potato. He's giving you props on that one. Good morning, Mr. Sonny Clock, the hottest working man in sports. I bet you can't even
Good morning. I had to get the kids, make sure they were awake before I called in. I don't like waking them up on a Saturday morning. So what's going on with you guys? You guys are already off and running. Kareem talk. You know, Kareem, how did that whole thing start there, Big Dog, with Kareem? And how did he even get involved with him and Dwight Howard? How'd that cat fight start? That's the part I missed.
Well, what happened was is how this all started right now was because ESPN made the mistake of actually asking Kareem his opinion on Dwight Howard. And he gave it not as a Laker great, but actually as a just basketball, someone who's been in basketball, someone who's been there for so many years, and they asked him what his opinion on Dwight Howard as a center was, and he did not pull any punches.
And I'm not sure if you heard, Sonny, when the Big Dog said, after he stated it, the entire basketball and sports world was like, yeah, okay.
they pretty much agreed with him on everything that he said, you know, because he did not go after Dwight Howard saying, oh, well, you know, he's lazy.
He analyzed him
and analyzed it perfectly. You know, the fact that, yes, he's a great physical specimen, has great athletic ability, but does not have a go-to move. If you do certain things when you're trying to defend him, if you block him out a certain way or you push him a certain way, he's ineffective as a scorer because he does not have that post-up move. And Kareem said all the time his defensive prowess is him guessing and taking chances, leading his man. And the person that wrote the article said they wished they had the statistics to show how many times when Dwight missed the block shot, did the guy that he left pick up the ball, you know, pick up the scraps, per se, and get the rebound and or basket? So there was a lot to be said. You know, of course, Dwight is
That little lazy bastard should have done his research like the rest of us. Right, Sonny?
Because, you know, there is somewhere, on some internet site somewhere, there is a statistic for, you know, missed blocks, you know, rebound pickup or something.
I'm sure there's a nerd in the basement that has never seen a girl up live that has that number. It's true. It is true because these nerds who don't have video games have now translated their enthusiasm to every other sport.
So are those the guys that invented that?
These are the non-Tim McCloud people.
No, I'm saying, are these the guys that invented that wins above average or, you know, wins above replacement or something like that? Or, you know, if you play,
In deference to Tim, who I believe does refer to war from time to time, but yes, wins above replacement, I think that is the most inane, ridiculous, worthless statistics
that any stupid nerd that has never vetted a woman, or in the case of some of them, a man, you know, is the worst statistic ever invented. You can tell that these guys have never, will not, and even in their dreams have not had a woman or had sex with anything other than themselves.
But you like Whip, though, right? You think Whip is a...
Actually, I was talking about that when I did my Sunday night program on my awards. I did it again for the third annual program, which no one has listened to, so you guys can all go to hell. I gave my report. I looked at the numbers. You guys can all go to hell. But I did give love, and a lot of love, to someone on the program. We did. I gave a lot of love to the program, and I did mention WIP and ORA. It was originally known as ORA.
What is ORA?
It was opposing runners against. In other words, how many men were getting on base by hits and walks. So for years, back in the 1980s, in the old Herald Examiner, they had ORA. They had ERA and their ORA, and eventually it was changed to WIP. And that's cool, because that statistic is old. So, yes, this is an old man going against the youngin. So, yes, it is.
Well, that's our life.
I admit it, Steve. I admit it. But WIP is an awesome statistic. It's not made up. It is hits and walks, you know, against the pitcher. And WIP is a valid statistic, because if you look at it, someone who has a 1.2 or less is an effective pitcher. 1.21 and above is less effective, because they're just allowing more men on base. 1.2 and above for a starter?
That 0.01 makes a big difference, right?
Well, Sonny, you have to have a line somewhere, and that's my line.
I guess. Between passing and not passing, I get it. Yeah, 65 is good, 64 is not. Got it.
Exactly, Sonny. I mean, they're close. It's bragging rights. They're close. Holy crap.
What's wrong?
I just saw my B of A available balance.
Woo!
Someone somewhere in the world was charitable. So it wasn't my employer. So anyway, I was talking about the fact that I missed my insurance payment this morning.
Nah.
Actually, last night. I was like, oh, man, I always get it the night before, and I messed up. Hey, Sonny, could you say something for me? Because I don't know if you're on...
I'm here. I'm just listening.
No, I know you're there. I didn't know if I hate the new iPhone updates.
Why?
Yeah.
You're doing the iPhone. Yeah. I use a flip phone. Forget it. All this new technology is just, it's not beyond me. I'm just too lazy to learn it.
Batters off base.
Yeah. Okay. Now, what the hell is Tim coming back with 1812? Why the hell is he throwing that back in our face?
The Battle of 1812?
It was the Second War of Independence, some people would say, 1812. I think the French were not mollycoddling us when we went north. Some moron decided to go north to stick it to the British, and we ran into a buzzsaw called the Canadians. Yeah.
Mollycoddling? Is that when you...
I was reaching there, big dog.
Is that when you reach under and you kind of go like that with the balls?
No, for Molly.
Yeah.
That, speaking of Melrose Avenue, Molly coddling really came into effect. But anyway,
man,
I
don't know. You guys have been talking about hookers a lot here today, probably more than ever on this show.
Roger's horny.
Okay. Oh, no, he went in the corner.
I had nothing to say. I had nothing to say. I had absolutely nothing to say.
I thought
no
you went in the corner.
You just did it very well, big dog, and I probably won't deny it either. So, there are times when you're with your buds, your family, and you've all been there, when you're in a big, having a good time, and things are starting to happen, and someone launches that strike. And it stays there for a few seconds, and there's no response. It's like that family thing where the family member probably spoke up and said, "You are a dick." And there's no response other than, "You can go to hell." It was one of those. It was one of those, because it was like right on. And no, my name is not Richard. But I told you guys that story, right?
Mm-hmm.
On why. I told you that one, right, Sonny? About Richard? Why people call me Richard?
Yes.
Okay, well, for those of you in the chat room, and I want to join you, it was,
a lot of people would forget my name, Roger, but they would always call me Richard. Sometimes they would say Robert, but most of the time they would say, Hey, Richard. And it didn't dawn on me until I was in negotiations with my employer. This was in 2009, right, Big Dog? I was sitting right there at the desk. I missed the first meeting because I hadn't been released. And the negotiator came in, and I have a tent right in front of me that says Roger D. Noriega. Not Roger Noriega, but Roger D. Noriega. And he looked at me and said, oh, you made it. And I know what went through his mind. He was like, Richard.
And then he saw the placard.
No, he didn't see the placard. He said, oh, Richard, you made it. And I just casually smiled, and I said, yes. And it dawned on me, because I was thinking the same thing of him. I know exactly why he always calls me Richard, because what is short for Richard is Dick. And I know he looked at me like, there's that Dick. Richard!
You're just mad you didn't think of it first.
Oh, that's right! I'm really mad!
When you want to be condescending and with a smile, you call him a Richard Cranium.
Richard Cranium, yeah. You're absolutely right. I didn't think about it.
Yeah, he loved it.
No doubt. And that really did happen because I really, the minute that happened, he called me Richard, it dawned on me. I said, now I know why people call me Richard. Because they're like, that Dick's name. Oh, Richard!
Tim says there's nothing wrong with hookers. The seamstresses of the world never get enough respect.
Oh, we're back with the so-and-sos of the world. We've got to stay from that. The Mario Rivera's of the world.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, Lord. You're having a great time. I want to tell the Big Dog that we have a string now of doing very well. We're not trying to be full of ourselves, but our program has been okay, and our numbers now reflect it. Our numbers suck. 6 weeks ago, they just sucked. And now I can tell that they're back again. We have our usual six people that listen to us.
I got that.
Now that the baseball season's over.
Well, look, there's us, and there's four people in the chat room.
Do you as a Yankee now go and tell CeCe Sabathia to gain some weight?
I actually tell that Tavalar, he is underweight. I say, son, you go eat up. What do you want? I want someone extra money for you to go to a hotel buffet, Sizzlers, and Red Lobster all in one day.
And then go home and have dessert.
And then do whatever the hell you want. And actually, no sex. Well, no, you do have sex because you get hungrier. So I agree. Sonny Clark.
What did you say?
Yeah, I said that. I know. I'm sorry. I apologize. But I wasn't thinking. It must be a hooker. Not right now.
Oh, I love it.
I can't believe I was that stupid. I'm sorry. But anyway, the biggest issue that we've had, and it's been a betting line, what's going to be lower, his ERA or his weight? This time it was his weight significantly. And knowing that he dropped weight, he really did. He
looked
lighter. He looked lighter. There was no doubt.
They just need to give that guy a Twinkie before he goes and pitches, and he'll be all right.
And ladies and gentlemen, the world has come back to normal because the zombie apocalypse has been put off for another day because you can now walk into your market and you can find Twinkies.
That's right.
That was a glorious
smaller,
day.
Though. And they look different. They're not as yellow.
They do look different, don't they?
Yes, they are. It's a different formula. They said so. Because it's not Hostess. Hostess doesn't exist anymore.
I know.
They bought the name. I believe it still says Hostess Twinkies, but it's not the Hostess.
Yeah, with that little Twinkie.
Yeah, so. Yep.
Oh, that bastard lived.
So, CeCe comes back out here. You'll be happy.
Yes, he needs to come back heavier. And ladies and gentlemen,
A-Rod loses his thing and he's gone.
Well, speaking of A-Rod, he's now suing Major League Baseball.
A-Rod just needs to go away.
Girardi, of course, may or may not come back. But there is a...
The Cubs are after him.
There is a manager that just got fired that may be wearing pinstripes. You never know.
Who
just got fired? A certain nation let go of their man.
Oh, no, I thought he was going to go, though, from the Nationals. Dusty Baker?
Dusty Baker, yeah, was fired.
Okay, if we go by the rumors, and this is the only time I'm going to go by the rumors, is Girardi has been offered a contract. The Yankees apparently want him to stay. And, folks, if you did check out my Sunday night program, you did hear that one of my least favorite managers of all time is...
Mr. Girardi?
Mr. Joe Girardi. I do not think he knows how to manage a pitching staff. It is very questionable.
Except Tori, you weren't real fan of Tori's either.
I wasn't a fan of Tori, but
Roger don't like anybody.
What was that? I don't like anybody.
Roger don't like anybody.
I am the artist formerly known as a scorekeeper. Thank you, Cash Potato.
Yes, there you go.
I almost gave in my Yankee card when Joe Torre was hired. Big Dog remembers. I was on that one for years. I was not a happy camper. I was like, they hired that perennial loser. I think those were my words. The perennial loser.
Now, he was a catcher for the.
Oh, not for the Yankees. I believe he was the St. Louis Cardinals, and he might even have been a Met there. And I know Tim will help
did
me out.
Did he ever get one?
I think he did get a ring
with the Cardinals, or.
No, he did not get a ring. I don't believe he ever won one as a player.
Okay.
He showed up to the World Series as a manager. He was a good player, and he was a damn good player, but I don't believe he had a ring.
Yeah, how was he as a catcher?
That's funny. The Cubs really want Girardi. He is a fan favorite with Chicago. And, he lives in Illinois. So that's his hometown, and the Cubs, I think they're after Girardi. If the Yankees, you see, the Yankees denied him permission to talk to the Cubs because that wouldn't even negotiate because the Cubs want him. They want him they want him.
Like white on rice.
Okay. White on rice.
Flies to shit.
You and the Big Dog are on the exact same page right now.
I was on.
At one night in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we had a deep connection that day.
You know, we're going to have to write a book of that one night in Vegas, and this will easily outdo those three movies. What was it, Las Vegas? Or what was it? Hangover in Las Vegas.
Hangover.
By the way, that show sucks anyway. The first one was good. The second one was horrible. And the fourth one was just stupid. I mean, well, they're all stupid, but, you know, I don't like that little Asian guy who thinks that everybody thinks he's funny. I don't find him funny at all. I find him annoying more than anything.
You know what he was doing before he became an actor, right?
Probably nothing.
No, you're going to be very surprised about
Gundam style? I don't know what the hell he was doing.
Do I have to put a disclaimer?
He is actually a doctor. He is a general practitioner, and he actually worked for Kaiser Permanente here in the Valley. And just someone came in, thought he was like a kind of a funny guy as a doctor, and they offered him a job. The guy that he saw was a producer, and offered him a job, and he took off from there. In fact, he still has his credentials. He just got reaccredited. I believe in an interview I read that he got reaccredited last year. So he said just in case the acting thing doesn't work out for him, he can fall back on his previous job.
And by the way,
that's a tough fallback right there.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's an incredible fallback.
I wish someone would get me when I was funny and I was drunk one night. I'd be famous. I mean, God.
You are famous. So you're famous to us, honey.
No. He is famous. He is well known the world over.
Funny?
Yeah, just ask all the...
The hookers?
No, the Las Vegas dancers.
Are you smarter than
the Las Vegas stripper? Yeah. Ask all
I wish we got a chance to do that. We should have been able to get that done.
I'm telling you, next time we go, whenever it is, we need to go to Cheetah's and talk to the Godfather from the WWE because he runs the strip club down there. We can do a show from there. Are you smarter than a stripper? And he probably hosted for us.
A Las Vegas stripper.
Yeah.
We got to throw that in so everybody know where we're at. Yeah, I need to get a bit drunker.
if they've been listening to you and us for anything over a year, they know what we're talking about. And that's truly an inside joke.
But we will, guys, write a book on our night, and it's just called Hangover. Not The Hangover or The Night in Vegas or The Day That the Three Screwed Up, I don't know, or down, depending on how you want to consider it. But
And the book would say The Day The Three Screwed Up.
That's right, The Day The Three Screwed Up. That's good, big dog. That's a nice byline there. And speaking of the byline...
No, we're not by, though.
Anyway. Brian? Brian?
Oh, man.
Why would you go to...
Brian, you are the biggest traitorous rat bastard that the world has ever known.
Unintentional.
Well, I know that. What did I do this time?
You dropped off the line when he was coming up with a great line.
Oh, man.
You know,
I'm sorry.
Brian, I fully admitted to blowing you on air. I gave you one of the best intros ever. And then I said, and we now go to Brian.
You'll appreciate that, and the noise I had to go through for about 10 minutes. I had to go run an errand, so I didn't want to put it on mute, and then you come to me, so I just hung up.
I mean, I had...
And I joined in. When I call in, I pick up the phone and actually call in. The first thing I hear is I gave Brian the biggest blowjob, and I was like, what? What the hell are we talking about here this morning?
Wow.
Yeah, I know. One of those things.
Right, I was pissed because it took me like a minute and a half to do that transfer to you. And it was, oh my God, I got mad.
All right, I'll be right back. I got to go take care of a kid. I'll be right back.
Thank you, Sonny. Had Brian said that, it would have been a hell of a lot better. I'm going to go get people.
Well, you were doing an intro. You were doing an intro for somebody.
Well, thank you, but I know, and I guess that's the moment you dropped off because we talked about that and went right to you, and I said, and we have Brian Tarvino, otherwise known as Tarvino. I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to redo it. Brian, it took me a minute to go through that one, and I just blew you so much love. No negatives, and I went to you, and there was about a second of silence, and I said, that bastard better not. And he was gone. I got so
close. Sorry, Roger.
God. And, of course, it turned out to be a marvelous intro for the couch potato. But anyway.
So Girardi's in Chicago and Baker to
the Yankees. Dusty Baker going to be a Yankee and Girardi to Chicago. Even though Tim McCloud has some great arguments in the chat room about, you know, the age of his kid and Girardi's parents having passed. So he's lost some of that connection to Chicago because of his parents passing. But
how do you feel? I mean, just throwing it out there, how would you feel if he were to become Yankee manager?
Can he manage? He can clearly manage. There's no doubt about it. Look at what he's done with the tools that he has.
Now, okay, but like I said, you as scorekeeper and the Yankee fan that you are, if they were to announce Dusty Baker signing to be the Yankees manager, would you be happy, indifferent? Would you hate it like the way you hated Girardi and Torrey when they came off?
I would be indifferent to it.
Okay.
I would be indifferent because first thing is, you dumb rat bastard. rdnoriega@gmail.com. That's the manager you want. That's how you get a hold of him.
Who would you want to manage? I mean, if the possibilities are right.
Oh, Buck Showalter.
Really?
I'm still with Buck Showalter.
Not Socia, huh? Because I remember before, this was a while.
Just to screw with you.
You were happy with Socia
just
that
to
way.
Screw with you.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. Brian, you heard the news. You better be there.
Yeah. I'm here.
No, I know you are. It was so funny, Brian, because we did the intro for Tim, honestly, and then we went right to the next subject, and I said, I went into a great, you know, on how, yeah, people were wondering what kind of relationship we had based on what I said. And then you just happened not to be there. That's what made it funny.
Tim says that they can't hurt the pitching as there's not much to hurt.
Wow.
But if you notice, scorekeeper does not say yes and does not say no. He just remains quiet. Because Tim knows his shit.
I actually don't even say he knows his shit. When Tim
it's a foregone conclusion. Yes, he knows it.
When Tim speaks, I don't argue.
Not much.
And I don't argue. Actually, Tim and I don't argue. Think about that. We kid about arguing. But Tim and I have never argued in at least 3 years of Sports Talk with the Guys. We never have. We will argue the merits of an issue, but we have never argued. As a matter of fact, for those of you that know the story, that's the thing. When I started to know Tim, I just despised him passionately because he always knew his stuff. And I took the stand, he was on the other side. But that went for about 6 months.
And then one time you guys agreed to do it all. You guys both said it was a talk with
we him. Made a joke of it in the chat room. I was like, holy crap, it must be the end of the world. Tim and I are on the same side. And that's how we came to know each other by just that. And we were on the same page more often than not. It's just that Tim is genteel. So when someone is genteel to someone, I'm like, oh, screw that. Enemy of the state. You can't be genteel to someone. And that's the difference between Tim and I. Tim is actually genteel to people. I am not. I've never been.
So, back to Showalter.
Like it matters. Buck Showalter is my guy.
Who's managing you right now?
Baltimore. Oh, God, I want to throw up again.
That means it's down the block, too.
Is it? Yeah, actually, up the block. No, it is down the block. Yeah. Brian. I know you're a college football guy, and it's a big deal for you, but you do follow baseball. Dusty Baker was fired, and I am so happy.
No, as it says in the article,
he was dismissed. And the big dog is presupposing that Dusty Baker could be a Yankee. Would that mean anything to you? And I don't ask you to look at the pitching because it's like,
are you talking about the Reds being a Yankee, the manager?
Yes.
The one that got fired, Dusty Baker?
Yes.
The Lizard is what I call him. I tell you what, he is a good manager, but I just don't know if he can win in New York right now. I don't know if he wants to go to New York. I think they need somebody a little younger, actually, to run that club. But, hey, I like Dusty Baker. He's always got that toothpick in his mouth, but... You know, I think they need somebody bigger than Dusty Baker.
Ladies and gentlemen, and Dusty Baker always had that toothpick. And I remember him in Dodger Stadium. He always had that toothpick out left field. And he never got hurt, never anything.
And the bubblegum.
And the bubblegum, yeah. That's right, he never did tobacco. It was always bubblegum.
And I remember everyone would throw him the bubblegum and throw him into it.
Oh, my God, that's right.
And he would always think he would have a cap full between every inning.
It was amazing. No kidding, guys. At Dodger Stadium, for years, people knew, and he would get at least 5-6 pieces of gum every inning. And that's all he was doing, was always chewing bubble gum. The fans always threw him bubble gum. And that was cool. That was in the 70s, man.
Says here, Baker was 509-463 in 6 seasons, finishing 3rd on the Reds' list for wins behind manager, of course, Mark Anderson, with most at 863, and Bill McKinney. With 744. His 1,671 wins ranked 16th on his career on the career list. He won 3 National
League. High, dude.
He won 3 National League Manager of the Year awards.
Yes, he did. Oh.
How about Bobby Cox, guys? Why don't you get Bobby Cox out of retirement?
I think he might be a little too old. Weren't you talking about something? But, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to, I'm a bit out of it, I do apologize. Our switchboard is cracking this morning. We have a caller from the 807 area code, so just remember, caller, there is a one-second delay, so let us know who you are and where you hail from. You are live on Sports Talk with the Guys. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Oh, my God! Oh my God!
I'm disappointed. You forgot the 807 area code, scorekeeper. Oh, man. I am hurt. I am going to get off the phone in a couple seconds and go downstairs. I'm going to pout in the corner, okay? It's going to be ugly.
Tim McCloud, I swear to you, as Big Dog being the only one to see this in evidence, Tim McCloud, I am sorry.
Absolutely hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
Tim McCloud, I am doing the We're Not Worthy right now. We are not worthy. And the only other man that I've done We're Not Worthy to is Chili Davis. The only other
not
man.
Chili.
Because he broke up a double play. They were ragging on him, and I was like, way to go, Chili. I know what you did. That was back in, 1991 when he was with the Angels. Tim McCloud, I do apologize. Tim, I want to introduce you to Brian. We have the... Oh, my God. Are we getting a civil war? The Northern and the Southern meet on air here on NTV Media. Is this all we're going to lose?
Good to meet
Brian. Meet Tim.
Hey, Brian. Hey, you're
How's
doing a great job, Brian. Unfortunately, duty has been calling way too much lately, so I haven't caught as much of the show as I'd like. But when I do happen to catch you on there, hey, you're generating lots of red bastard comments from Scorekeeper, so you guys be doing a good job.
Yeah, thank you.
That's right, Tim did say that. Oh, I did call you a rat bastard, which I did call you a...
Isn't that the ultimate award, Brian, to be called that by Scorekeeper? It doesn't get any better than that. That's like the Oscar of media, isn't it?
I feel very good this morning.
And, of course, that's the Oscar, and the Emmy is when he calls you a ball-washing bastard.
Oh.
Ooh. That's right.
I haven't gotten the Emmys yet.
But never did call Tim a rat bastard, but he is going to get a lifetime service achievement award. He is going to be a two-time winning ball-washing rat bastard and rat bastard. Damn. Yes.
Well, at one point in time, I know I was in line for Northern VP, but hey, there was no dental plan. It wasn't happening. So there we were.
Now he's pounding in the corner now. You mentioned the dental plan. Has he fixed
that up for you yet, Big Dog, or are you still struggling with that one?
Still struggling with that one. He won't give up on the dental plan.
Oh, man. Tough negotiator.
So how's it going, Tim? How you been?
I have just been fine. Enjoying the baseball season. Got all my leagues wrapped up. I had another fun year. And now I'm just sitting back and watching some baseball instead of playing the game. And, hey, having a lot of fun with it. Sunday night, still doing the podcast and still writing over at Roto-Rob and lots of good things. And on Saturday mornings when I can, I like stopping by and seeing what the guys have to say. It's always entertaining.
Always.
I appreciate that, Tim. And for those that did not hear it, Tim is a writer at rotorob.com. Or no, it's Roto-Rob, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, rotorob.com. And you can find him with Rich Wilson every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Tim, I mentioned you on my Sunday podcast, and I did. I mentioned you by name in the podcast, too. So it's only 30 minutes. Yes,
mm-hmm.
I did. Oh, no. I think I went 30 minutes. Yeah. I gave my award, and I did. I mentioned you in the podcast because it was rightful. I'm talking baseball. So I did, and it had to do something with Girardi, where I think it would have been shocked that my manager of the year pick for the American League was Joe Girardi.
Why?
Because he kept the Yankees in it when the entire team went down.
Yeah, that's not a bad call. Let's face it, the Yankees had some issues this year, and... you know, he did do a great job, no doubt about it.
And I appreciate that, Tim. I think Tim probably has a different manager of the year this year, but he's a genteel gentleman from the North. But Tim and I generally agree on our picks, and if I get one right, Tim always lets me know. So I can tell that he does not agree with Girardi.
He does not agree with Girardi.
I'm throwing all my support behind Bull Porter because he survived a year in the AL with Houston. So, I mean, hey, come on. You got to give the guys some credit for that, right?
Tim, I bow to you yet again. Yes, no doubt about it.
How about Terry Francona, guys? I know he lost in the wild card, but what a job he did at the end.
Yeah, he's got my vote. I just can't throw my support behind Farrell after he sort of took the back door out of Toronto and moved off to his dream job, leaving the Jays sort of standing there. So Farrell will never get my support. But I like Tito. I think he did a great job in Cleveland this year, considering what he had to work with. Got them all together. They played well. Sort of a sad ending. I was hoping they were going to go a little further, but I like Tito.
Yeah, this is his first year there. He spent a year in the booth. Let me tell you, I really enjoyed listening to him in the booth. I really enjoyed his insight, his commentary.
So it was him and you?
No, it was no. Aha, Cleveland. Ah-ha. No, because he was on the major league level on ESPN. And I really did enjoy listening to him because he was the third guy in the booth and he had some good commentary about the game. And early on, they tried to press him, and he was so good at answering the lines. He's like, nope, won't comment. And it was good. And what he did with this team, making them competitive, the parts were there, but like we like to say, he took advantage of what he had. And he, you know, Tim, I should have consulted with Tim. Damn you, Tim. Damn you.
Oh, multiple damnings already, and I've only been talking to you for 5 minutes. I like it.
Yeah, well, it's not Red Bastard, but... I did choose Girardi. I did say that. And, nationally, I actually went. No, I did not go with Mattingly. Even though Mattingly did a good job, I actually went with the underdog, Clint Hurdle, of the Pittsburgh Pirates. In my opinion, there were no real stories like there were last year. This year was pretty straightforward. I like the fact that Clint Hurdle made this team be where it was. We saw a little bit of it last year, and this year he kept them going and he kept them winning. He doesn't have the most parts on that team, and yet he took advantage of it, and I like Clint Hurdle. That was my choice for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
And your National League Rookie of the Year?
Oh, that was a pitcher for the Marlins. Come on, Timmy. Wasn't that a no-brainer?
Jose Fernandez all the way. But you know what's interesting? If you take a look at what's happening in the NL from a rookie perspective, there was probably a dozen National League rookies that were all better and produced better numbers than the best guy in the American League, who's Will Myers.
Right.
It was an amazing year for rookies in the National League this year. It really was. You know, you look at Puig, you look at Rue for the Dodgers. There was, like I said, 10, 12 guys in the NL that produced better numbers than the eventual winner of the American League Award.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tim is actually giving insight into the difficulty that we had in the American League Rookie of the Year. Because Tim is right. It would have been almost a toss-up for the National League Rookie of the Year had it not been for Fernandez, honestly. For a rookie to post those numbers, that was just impressive. And
well,
I resent the fact that they shut him down early. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, well, he came right out of high A into the majors. How many pitchers have done that? I think the last pitcher that comes to mind that posted a rookie campaign like Fernandez might be Doc Gooden, scorekeeper.
As a matter of fact, Timmy, I mentioned Doc Gooden on the program.
Well,
I tell you, we're gonna hurt ourselves patting each other on the back here, scorekeeper.
Oh, that's what we call it? Oh, okay.
Okay. No BJs.
There is no doubt, ladies and gentlemen, that Tim McLeod and the scorekeeper have a solid frame of reference, and we do see things. We don't always agree, and it's not a joke when we don't. But Tim and I are both of the same. I mean, we're both working guys. We're blue-collar, baby. We're
you
guys. Hell yeah. And We are both. Oh, Tim, I couldn't. You know what? I was a little hard up for cash yesterday. My wife said, "Let's go to the market. Let's go get some cherry." Excuse me, we have to go to the market for that? And she said, "Soda, you dumbass." I said, "Oh, okay." So we went, Tim, and I got my Cool Ranch Doritos, but the cherry Coke. Yeah, the cherry Coke was $1.67 a 2 liter, which is about $1.50 in Canadian loonies.
Canadian
loonies. And the wild cherry Pepsi was only 79 cents. Timmy, I beg your forgiveness. I bought the wild cherry.
Oh, man, that leaves a mark. I don't know if a tourniquet is going to stop the bleeding there, scorekeeper.
You see, but the thing between Tim and I is that when I transgress, I can tell him. I don't hold any secrets back, and that's why I admit it to you, Timmy. I'm sorry. I am cherry Coke all the way. You know it, baby. I'm cherry Coke. But
I do appreciate your candor.
Thank you, Timmy, because you know when the wife says, "I want cherry," you know the first word is, "Okay."
Yeah. Okay, we're there.
Yeah.
I thought it was "I want candy," but okay.
Okay, that was good, Sonny. Brian, what's your response to that?
I thought I was on mute.
What does the wife say? No, he's not on mute. Brian,
I thought I was on mute.
Oh, you bastard. What
was the question again, guys? What was the question?
Like, when my wife says cherry, I say yes. And the couch potato said, "Well, I thought, you know, I want candy." So my question to you is, what does Mrs. Tarvino say? "I want cherry," or "I put the peanut butter away," as the big dog says?
If she says cherry, I say pop.
Oh!
Boy.
That was good. Oh, by the way, Couch Potato, we got, as Couch Potato's been very quiet, Couch Potato knows Tim a way back, too. And this is a throwback Saturday, Big Dog, having Tim on with us. Oh, and Brian, this is the very same Tim that called on a weeknight when Matt Alvarez had called in and Brian played the party song or Tim played the party song. And for the first time you could hear Matt Alvarez say, "Yeah, I'm stupid, mother," and I had to beep him.
I smiled that whole day, scorekeeper. I'm still laughing when I think about that one. Poor Matt.
Yeah, poor Matt.
Guys, it was so hilarious because it was a genuine punk. It was a genuine punk call. Tim called in and he had a comment to say. He suckered all of us. And then he said, "And scorekeeper, I have one more thing for you." And he put the music close to the phone and you could clearly make it out after about 2 seconds. "We love you. I love you. Oh my God."
So you are the originator of that. Good job, Tim.
Why, thanks. Yeah, no, it's
we've been keeping going for two years.
Got me on
it.
A good day that day.
Everybody gives me shit for it. But you know what? That was the classic moment. Tim doesn't do that to anyone. He did it to Matt Alvarez. That was hilarious.
That's
but anyway. It was great. Tim, I don't know how much time we have you on, but we always just pass the time so quickly when we have you on. We got some Major League Baseball news that I want to get your opinion on if we can have you for it. And that is A-Roy. And, gentlemen, you've heard the breaking news that happened, like it really matters. A-Roy is now suing Major League Baseball, and he is suing the outgoing commissioner for defamation and malicious harassment.
And the Yankee doctor.
Oh, and the
religious harassment?
And the doctor? And the hospital?
Everybody except the Yankees. Surprisingly.
Actually, everybody except me.
Well, why would he sue the people that are giving them $126 million? I think
if you look deeper, scorekeeper, you might be named down there, okay, somewhere.
Well, I was an owner at one time, but we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
And it's funny because Tim remembers that story, and he also remembers the math, too. 1 billionth of a trillionth. I remember the whole. Go ahead, Big Dog.
Yeah, I said he filed a lawsuit Thursday night in New York State Supreme Court that alleges Major League Baseball and Commissioner Bud Selig have one goal in mind, to, quote, improperly marshal evidence that they hope to use to destroy the reputation and career of Mr. Alex Rodriguez.
Wow.
End quote.
That was awesome legalese, man. I can't get up now. I mean, I'm just going, martial evidence. Ooh, that's the stuff that dreams are made of. Go ahead.
Well, you know, as soon as I get off the air with you guys, I'm going to turn on one of my taped editions of Perry Mason. Like, impressive, Big Dog.
And then it says, on Friday night, he filed a second lawsuit, against the New York A's team doctor, Chris Ahmad, and New York Presbyterian Columbia University Medical Center, alleging malpractice for misdiagnosing his left hip injury during the 2012 playoffs.
Oh,
Rodriguez and his lawyers contend Ahmad failed to tell him about an MRI showing his hip injury and are seeking damages. The Yankees are not named in either lawsuit.
So, okay, now, let's go. They're not named in the lawsuit, so that's interesting, but the employees are. So these are personal.
Well, it's funny because early on, he was damning the Yankees unless he was damning baseball with Bud Selig.
Well, you have to remember that A-Rod has never publicly damned the Yankees. We've always heard it through rumor that he is. So, what is the lawsuit against Major League Baseball? This one that's going on against Selig
and Major League Baseball, yes.
Yeah. Selig and Major League Baseball, why is he suing them? Or did I say already why he sued them?
Because I remember improperly marshal evidence.
Oh.
In essence, he said it was a witch hunt, that they were out to get...
Oh, that's what I was thinking.
It was a witch hunt. He said it's a witch hunt, but Selig and Major League Baseball, because they believe that Alex Rodriguez sullied the name of Major League Baseball and its tradition. And
they sullied the name of baseball and its tradition by suing or by trying to get evidence on him.
Well, saying that he sullied the name of baseball because what he's done, he kind of flipped it off. Where everyone has been taking, in other words, everybody's been taking their medicine, you know, except him. You know, one of the biggest guys that broke the rules, and he went the opposite way where everyone else is okay. Yeah, I'll take my 50 games, 65, 40, whatever it was. Everybody took it and went, yeah, he caught me, finally. All right, I'll take it. And Rodriguez is the only guy who was like, screw you. I ain't taking 211 games. I want my money.
Sonny Clark?
Yeah, he's fighting back.
Oh, Tim. Okay, Tim, he's fighting back, but I really don't see him actually winning this lawsuit unless somehow he sees a significant reduction in this penalty phase that's going to happen because... folks, this is why a lot of people don't know the rules about baseball. And this is one of the reasons why I get very mad at people when they come up with all these stupid theories and stuff. Because they, first of all, don't know union rules. And that's the thing. And I've always said that baseball is a job first and foremost, and you have to know the rules. So even though A-Rod is a first-time offender, baseball did what they did based on their belief that he did these egregious things by testing positive and by... No, actually, no. They didn't get him for testing positive. They said that he purchased these illegal substances and he tried to cover it up by intimidating witnesses. That's why.
And lied about it.
Oh, I know why he's doing it. He didn't try to intimidate them. I think that was the word. That is the problem. See, he tried to bribe them, so they just got the wrong word.
But I think one of the interesting things in this lawsuit that's been raised is that A-Rod is claiming that Major League Baseball paid Bosch $5 million to get his testimony. That's going to have to be discussed in court. He's also claiming that Major League Baseball actually went to the stage of paying off other people, impersonating police officers. And apparently there were no forms filed with the IRS. I don't believe you can exchange money under any circumstances without proper documentation. Bud's going to have to answer to all of these claims in court. On top of that, what he has claimed as far as the steroid issue is concerned is that Major League Baseball turned a blind eye to the issue, including C-League, and basically said that it was in Major League Baseball's best interest after the strike to generate interest in baseball, and as a result of that, turned a blind eye to all of the massive home run hitting displays we saw in the late 90s. So, hey, if A-Rod's going down, he's going to do his darn best to take Bud down with him. And
Why not?
I think he's got some good arguments. And again, they're arguments that somebody is going to have to answer to now.
Yeah, I just want to real quickly about thing about money exchanging hands without informing the IRS. You might have to talk to those hookers on Melrose about that.
No. They were small tips.
Oh, yeah, exactly. There you go.
Sonny, don't make fun of the guys. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's true. Small tips. Sorry. That probably would be.
Guys, we have talked about some of the legal issues in the past here about that, and we all know that in a court of law, when a witness is paid for testimony, I don't know if that will stand up in a court of law, guys. Brian, when you have a witness that was paid to procure evidence, doesn't that witness get thrown out of court?
Not necessarily. I think so, and the person could get put in jail as well, correct?
Well, it depends.
If it was a bribe,
not necessarily a bribe. No, I'm saying
if they get thrown in jail, I'm saying it would be a bribe. You get thrown in jail, but
there has to be some sort of denial.
Yeah, for me to say, if I had the evidence in your Major League Baseball, and I'm like, I don't want to give it to you. You know, I'm a private entity.
But you have it.
I'm a private entity. You're a private entity, technically, kind of, sort of. You know, and I
actually,
don't want to give it to you.
Major League Baseball is a private entity.
Okay, so I don't want to give it to you. You say, okay, what if I give you? What if I buy your all your documents from you?
That's not illegal.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So I don't think it's illegal to get paid $5 million as long as he didn't doctor any of the documents and he's not lying about any of the documents. He was just putting, these are mine. You want to buy them? Okay, how much do you want to pay me? $500. Here you go. Here's everything I have.
Okay,
but if you don't disclose it to the IRS, it becomes an issue, doesn't it?
It becomes a significant issue.
Well, you have to see if there's conjecture on their part.
Well,
they might have filed all the proper paperwork. You never know.
Well, it remains to be seen.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Did you want baseball's reaction to the lawsuit?
Actually, let's go a bit further.
Okay.
I believe in the Canadian court system as well. Which,
yeah, but they wear wigs and stuff.
Yeah, I know they wear wigs, but it's okay. when a witness comes into court and they're going to give testimony, as a defense witness, I can say, how much were you paid to provide this evidence?
It sort of causes problems, scorekeeper.
Yeah, and if they can prove that, oh my God, and all they want is proof, and then baseball can say, well, we never did provide payment. And then all the defense has to prove is bring up all these articles and saying, well, here are the sources. They can cite it. They can say this and this, and everyone knows you paid for it.
Actually, no, they wouldn't even do that. All they would have just provide bank statement. Because if Major League Baseball pays $5 million, there's going to be a withdrawal of $5 million somewhere.
Of course there is.
You know, so they don't even need to go by sources, because sources are just that. They're just rumors until they put the names to the faces.
Yeah.
But you have to document petty cash?
I'm sure.
Boy, that'd be petty. That's petty cash. Damn.
Hey, Tim, how many authorizations were involved with that one, huh, baby?
$5 million is petty cash in the world of Major League Baseball, I think, guys.
No, it is pocket change.
Yeah,
so that only went by one of the presidents, either the American League or the National League. Actually, it would have been approved by the American League.
But you know, the interesting thing here is, okay, if in fact Major League Baseball has paid Bosch this $5 million or so, what's to stop A-Rod from paying Bosch $10 million? to say that he was coerced by Major League Baseball.
Then that would be a lie.
What's coercion?
Exactly.
We have to look at the definition of coercion. So, Bosch is going to be one of the richest guys in jail, man.
For those that don't, man, he's setting his future up, I'd say, right smartly, gents.
He's wow, gonna get he's gonna you're... get a room with a view, 8x10
Yeah, but at least he'll be alone. At least he'll be alone.
Yeah, but don't drop that soap.
Well, if you pay off the guards, they'll protect you.
Yeah, he's got the money for that.
Again, yeah, we'll see. If this is a federal case, he's gonna go to Club Fed, dude. If the federality
yeah,
are
that's,
after
that's
him.
That's right, because I keep forgetting that you have state and fed, and the feds don't take things the same way as the local people, do they?
Nope.
If he is a man of means, he will go to one of the federal clubs, yes.
And not only that, but if it's state, then you also have county jail, which is much different from state jail.
Yeah, county can be nasty.
Well, so can state, but, you know.
Well, no, state is where all the criminals go. And
how
speak,
the hell
okay,
you know
why
that?
Don't you... Yeah, I know. We're really into some of the stuff. Yeah. And by the way, we'll talk about Chad Curtis in a moment, but why don't you get baseball's response? Because I think you people heard in Michigan, Chad Curtis got 7 to 14 years in jail for improperly touching...
The teams of the girls, yeah.
Yeah, apparently one of them, 16-year-old, said that she was fondled.
Who's stretching her out?
Because he was a volunteer coach in the weight room.
Yes.
For women? What a bastard. I didn't know you had volunteer male jobs for that. But anyway.
That's one to volunteer for. You don't need to get paid.
Well, he obviously volunteered for that one, and the 16-year-old said that she fondled him. He fondled her in the breast area. And then the other two or three girls said that they were touched inappropriately. So and there's, I believe, four witnesses that said that, yeah, he was touched inappropriately. But this is Michigan, so I don't know.
I mean, 7 to 14 years, wow.
7 to 14 years, yeah. And
how many was it altogether?
I believe it was...
7?
7 to 14.
Seven people?
I believe it was 4. 1 to 16-year-old.
Oh, 2 years of breast, you know, but... Oh!
Jeez.
Hold on a minute. Now, was that per event? I mean, it could have been per event, because there was only 4. Oh, you bastard. I know. I'm a bitch, big dog. I'm out of here.
All right, well, Major League Baseball...
He did it visually. Was that 2 years per fondling? And he was doing that. And he was doing it with his hands. You sucky big dog.
Major League Baseball is starting the initial Rodriguez lawsuit. He says, quote, "We vehemently deny the allegations in the complaint. None of those allegations is relevant to the real issue."
Oh, so wait a minute. They just didn't deny it. They vehemently denied it.
Yeah, they also sidestepped it because they...
Oh, said, ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at a few good men all over again. Not only do we object, but we vehemently object. No, strenuously object. Oh, strenuous. Let me reconsider that.
Makes a difference here.
None of these allegations are relevant to the real issue. Whether Mr. Rodriguez violated the joint drug prevention and treatment program by using and possessing numerous forms of prohibited performance-enhancing substances, including testosterone and human growth hormones, over the course of multiple years, and whether he violated the basic agreement by attempting to cover up his violations of the program by engaging in a course of conduct intended to obstruct and frustrate the office of the commissioner's investigation. And
that's been their contention from day one. Tim, that has been their contention from day one.
Well, yeah, the contention is basically that he didn't roll over, say, yeah, I'll take what you're going to give me, and we'll call it a day. Yeah, that's correct.
Sonny?
Oh, thanks a lot, Big Dog. You got my mind everywhere today. I agree with him. I mean, you're either going to fight it or you're not. I think that's the way it needs to happen. You put up your dukes and do it, or just wimp on out, you know?
Yeah, you'll never say that A-Rod wimped on out on this one, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. We won't call him, you know, the biggest, you know, punk. At least he's out there, you know, doing something. He might do what a lot of people have been wanting to get done, which is get rid of Selig. The guy is a freaking car crash, for crying out loud. So he might succeed in what everybody thought should have happened about 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah, it's entirely possible, Coach.
And ladies and gentlemen, I will
play some for
him. Selig?
Yes.
No, but there are already contenders, and some very interesting contenders as well. The scorekeeper is in line for it. Didn't you notice I was already starting this a month ago when I was talking about what I would do as commissioner? I'm already laying my argument out there. And I will be postulating my candidacy for, you know, commissioner. Commissionership. You know, whatever they pass, we'll call it. But
you got my support fully, scorekeeper. You know, I'm hearing that one of the other candidates is Jeffrey Loria. So, like, hey, your head's above him right off the bat.
Oh, so he's an athletic supporter. There you go.
Just don't call me Jock.
Call me Jock.
Oh, John from Greece. That was good, guys. That was good.
Actually, I need Cooper to get this position.
Actually, Tim will not be my assistant commissioner. He'd be my undersecretary commissioner.
I wanted to be the guy that imposed suspensions. Come on, scorekeeper. Give me that one, would you?
Timmy, that is yours, baby. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that in political office, when you're running for office, like for the presidency, you can never promise anyone a position. So I will not promise anyone a position, but Timmy, I believe you are far from ill-suited from that position. You are perfectly suited.
So you can't, if you're in politics, you can't promise someone a position?
No, when you're running for office, you cannot promise. That's why.
Is that why when Clinton was senator and he had his congressional pages, he liked them bent over?
Oh my God! Oh my God!
Out of hand.
Yeah, that was good. No, remember when Newt Gingrich in the election said he would be my Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense? That was interesting because you cannot promise anyone anything. So, Tim, I'm not promising you anything. I am saying that you are fit for that position. I wonder what Hot Potato would be in it. He would be the only non-baseball guy there.
But the funny thing is, if you were to get this position, I could just see you already in this elegant chair with the white robe and the pontiff's cap and a ring telling everybody,
well, that's only the, hold on, send the pontiff cap, I can see all of that.
The ring too?
Yeah, hell yeah. It'd be a Yankee ring. It would probably be my Star Trek ring, my graduation ring.
Hey, and you know what, Coach? You know, Big Dog. You know what? When he goes to Vegas, he ain't going to get a room with one single bed.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is a long time listener to Sports Talk with a Guy.
There ain't going to be no over-under-the-sheets happening with him in power. You can be guaranteed of that, Big Dog.
Yeah, what's the over-under on that? Yeah.
Over-under. I would leave it to you guys on
it
that.
It depends how much Viagra you have.
Gentlemen, if I were to make commissioner, you would all be employed. Actually, I just said you would all be employed. Thank you, Big Dog. I didn't say you'd be employed in Major League Baseball. I just said you'd all be employed. And
you've done this before, haven't you, scorekeeper?
Let's just say that I've been in a position to run for office twice. Actually, I have run for office twice.
Were you the mayor of Bell?
No. My name is not Phil Rizzuto or Phil Rizzo, whatever. That's the controller. But, ladies and gentlemen, I did run for office twice in 2000 and 2002. It was a public position here in Los Angeles. I was running for a board member position, and the first time I lost by a mere 5%. So the second time, I registered to run.
That happened before people voted.
Yeah, actually, the
turnout was low.
Turnout was low. But I did campaign, and the second time I ran for office, after filing the paperwork, I actually hurt myself and I couldn't walk. So the second time I was, it was not a Donnybrook. I was blown out. I got my butt whipped. It was, in baseball terms, it was 16-2.
Hey, but you know what? You were playing the game. That's all that counts.
Yes, sir. I was playing the game, but I did give a run because I was against gobs and gobs of money, and people were stunned that I lost by 4.8% of the vote, and I was people were scared because I ran a two-person campaign against. Well, actually, it was against my union choice. They named someone else. And I went out there and I got my butt out, and I did. And the thing was, I got out there and met with people, and they said, "My God, we've never met a candidate out here. You got my vote." So anyway, I ran for office twice. It was exhilarating, let me tell you. And I was just going for a public employee position. God, it was beautiful. So anyway, yeah, I've done it, and I still have my ballot, a copy of my ballot, both of them. So anyway, hey, don't mess with my girls, big dog. I need those. Don't mess. Yeah, they're pretty colors. Yeah. Did you know that all drugs now have, like, ID numbers and stuff on them? No, they didn't always. They do now. Because whenever you get caught with drugs, they just whip out the number and say, you don't have a prescription for this. You're screwed.
Do not pass go. Do not collect 200. Go directly to county.
Let me just whip this out.
That was good. What are you going to just whip this out? Hey, Cox Potato, are you going to be on right after us this morning?
I am. I'm scheduled and ready to go. I don't even have to think too hard. I did that advanced thing to where it's set up for like 3 months, so I'm very good at forgetting to do it, but I'm way ahead of everybody. All set and ready to go.
All right. Sounds good. So, yeah, they do. They're big numbers. They're in black right there. Turn around. Right. See? They have numbers right there.
What, the R-1-2-9?
Yeah.
That's the code on for the pill itself. That's
yes.
That's not for you.
No, but they can immediately check if you...
Every pill has that.
They don't... Okay.
I worked pharmacy 25 years ago.
Yes, I worked for an hour, but...
I worked in there for 20 years.
I worked there too, lad. I was a pharmacy tech. I would handle the orders and all that. But look, R-159 is for this pill. Yeah, and like this one over here has a different one.
Yeah,
that's what I'm telling you.
Each one has its own number.
Don't argue with me. Okay, Cat Potato says I'm back. That
was like an hour ago.
Oh, yeah.
We're going into the Major League Baseball playoffs, ladies and gentlemen. And as you, I'm sorry, not ladies, pimps and hoes. Tonight, we have some good games. We have Tampa Bay against Boston at 5:30 p.m. Also, then all times are Eastern. Then we have Detroit against Oakland at Oakland. No, big dog. Why don't you go ahead and get the scores ready, please?
Oh, yeah.
And then tomorrow on October 6th, National League Series tied 1-1, Pittsburgh at St. Louis. And on Sunday, Atlanta visits the Dodgers at 8 p.m. The Pittsburgh game is at 4:30 p.m., all times Eastern. Big dog, why don't you give us the scores, please? Would you give us the shellacking that Tampa Bay got yesterday? Or is that... Was that a shellacking or was that a butt whipping?
Well, when you play defense like you're in T-ball, it probably don't help. Yeah, it was a butt whipping.
Because that was Boston, the Boston Red Sox.
That game was a bigger blowout to the water.
Taking a 1-0 lead as they destroyed Tampa Bay 12-2.
That just means they showed up.
Yeah. And, of course, Detroit, in their first game, they beat Oakland 3-2. So, Detroit leads that one 1-0.
That hurts when you lose by one run. Always does.
And, of course, that would happen with the Dodgers yesterday as Atlanta beat the Dodgers 4-3 to tie that up.
An incredibly intense game.
Yeah. Tied it up 1-1. And, of course, the Pirates turned around and they even theirs up also by beating the Atlanta Braves. Excuse me, the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm so sorry. St. Louis Cardinals 7-1 in that one, and that one also is tied up 1-1. So the National League is tied 1-1 on both sides, and in the American League, it's 1-0 on both sides.
I want to go to that game right now. And, Sonny, I don't know if the Brave-Dodger one. I don't know if you saw it, Sonny.
Kershaw took a loss.
No, Kershaw won the first game. Greinke.
You
know, the Dodgers have one of the better 1-2 pitchers in baseball right now, no matter what you say. But, Sonny, was that a must-win for Atlanta, knowing that the Dodgers have a 1-2? They're down 1-0. Kershaw just did what Kershaw does, and that's getting
right.
a lot of outs. Now, was that a must-win for them, Sonny?
I don't like counting the Braves out on anything. And that's just because of history. And I talk about, well, I normally don't look at history as something, you know, when I think about the Braves, I think about Bobby Cox. When the whole thing went down with Bobby and his retirement and everything, I wondered how the Atlanta Braves would react to it. And what they have done is just reacted to it just fine. So the Atlanta Braves remind me of the Braves of old. I don't think they necessarily – now, would they have liked that win against Kershaw? Absolutely. It just depends on what the motivation of the coach can get those players to let them forget about it because, Kershaw goes and pretty much mows them down. And depending on the mentality of the team, where they are actually at – that could linger. So this right here, I think, is all about coaching to get their heads back into the game. I don't think it was a must win, but man, it was up there, I think. But the coaching that goes on in Atlanta is something to marvel at over the last 20 years, if you kind of look at it, because they're just never out of anything in reality. So I kind of like the Braves still. I don't think they win this. I don't think they win that one, but I think I think they're just going to put up a good fight.
That's interesting. I appreciate it. Now, Tim, as I go to you for analysis, I want to thank you for staying on with us. This game, and I'm not sure if you saw it, this is one of those playoff games. Yeah, this is one of those playoff games that we as fans all come back later and say, oh, hell yeah, I saw that was intense and stuff. It was good. There were 3 double plays by Atlanta, and there was a significant double play. Oh, shut up, big dog. All at one time. Hi, big dog. You blew me a kiss? What the hell is that supposed to do?
Bottle, you blew Brian.
Well, yeah.
And you're complaining about a kiss.
Back on the
no
cake won't get you as much, big dog.
What do you
say? I don't know. What was that,
too? I know. Back on the cheek ain't going to get you as much, big dog.
It's funny. I asked for Tim's analysis and on the game, and he gave me his analysis on the blown kiss. That is your versatility, Timmy. You are the ultimate utility player.
Just a question here. When you look at the game last night, was D. Gordon safe or out?
Oh, yeah. I've seen that. Jeez.
That's why
I think it was a blown call. I really do.
I think so. But guys, that's why I love the game, because we can talk about this. If you go fully automated where you take the human element out of it, guys, I've always said do not remove the human element. It's always been part of the game. The Yankees have had bad calls against them, and they've had calls go their way. Every team does. It's part of the game. I think Tim and I have argued this, and Sonny and I, and the Big Dog and I have argued it. Why the hell do you lose the game on one blown call? It is very rare that it's really one call that costs you the game anyway.
If you lose a game due to one blown call and you blame it on that, you deserve to lose the game.
Well,
I agree with the Big Dog.
Yeah, right. I mean, if you lose a game 1-0 and it was one blown call, there may be merit to it, okay? There may be. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, no, I just thought it was very interesting, because if Gordon was called safe, that game does take a little bit of a different turn, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It was significant.
Yep. Yeah, but there are also 26 other outs as well, so...
Oh, yeah, no, hey, I can see both sides of the argument, but, Yeah, it's. I think that series is going to come down to how well Rue can pitch in Game 3. The when you look at the Dodgers, I think you pretty well have to pencil Kershaw in for a win every game he starts. He's by far the best pitcher in the game. It's just too bad that the Dodgers can't wheel him all out for all seven, because they would eventually win the World Series. But Rue, I think, is going to be the big question mark. If he pitches well, I think that could very much be the difference maker, because I don't think you can't write Atlanta off under any circumstances. You know, Freddie Freeman, that group of players has been playing incredibly well, and they got the best stopper in the game. If it gets to the ninth with Atlanta holding a lead, I'd say your odds are about 99.9 that lead will be intact come game end.
And Tim, in one awesome line mentioned two of my picks, and I think Tim already knows what they are.
Mm.
Number one is Kershaw as the National League Cy Young Award winner. And
correct,
the Fireman of the Year is also Craig Kimbrel. But I did have a surprise pick for the American League Fireman of the Year. It was not Mariano Rivera, as some people thought. But far and away, he was not the pick.
No.
But do you... Can you guess who my Fireman of the Year was in the American League?
Well,
Go ahead.
It would have to be the KC closer. He had an amazing year.
I love you. Yes, Tim, you got it. It was, and as I said on air, from the minor league team, otherwise known as Los Reales de Kansas City.
Thank you, scorekeeper. I was waiting to hear that. I love that.
Thank you, sir. It just really amazes me how Tim and I are really on the same page, and I just want to throw that in there. But the Dodgers, you know what I really like about the Dodgers and the Braves, honestly, for this series? You look at it, both teams have indelible strengths, and they also have indelible weaknesses. These are two powerful teams, but they do have some shortages.
Now, out of the four playoff series, is this the most intriguing series?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, look, the Cardinals and the Pirates, you're looking at a balanced team, an experienced team against a bunch of rookies. That has its own taste to it, and I am going for the Pirates. I am going for the Pirates on this one. But
Boston, Tampa Bay,
that's just, that's a pick'em. And then the other one is Oakland, Detroit. I mean, poor Oakland. Talk about being left at the altar forever.
Yeah, they've never quite made it down the aisle. And hey, the way Scherzer pitched yesterday is not helping their chances.
Yeah, and guys, Oakland is like the cute girl that goes to the preparatory school. You know, she's cute, but there's always cuter ones, and she's the one left behind. And Oakland is that way. It's really interesting. But I like the Dodgers and the Braves because these are two powerful teams, like I said. But they've got some flaws to them, and that's what I like.
Are you saying Mark Ellis is not the answer to second base, scorekeeper?
You mean pre-Robinson Cano, Mark Ellis?
I was thinking pre-Ming Dynasty Mark Ellis, sorry.
That's very good, pre-Ming Dynasty.
What do you feel about Magic Johnson's statement that the Dodgers will not go after Cano in this offseason?
Do you think
that's a smokescreen, or
do you? Okay, that actually could be tampering.
Am I saying they're not going after him?
Yes, that could
be
tampering.
He can't make any statements whatsoever on that issue.
That's technically still with the team.
Well, right, because
they're still playing baseball, so everybody's still on the team.
Dude,
he's not technically a free agent yet.
Well, he's technically not a free agent, but here's the thing. Cannot say anything about anyone, because you can say it's tampering. The Yankees, actually, I do believe they have a claim against the Dodgers by him saying that we will not go after Robinson Cano. All of a sudden, he's like, whoa, what? Who said Robinson Cano?
I think the interesting thing with that whole situation, that whole scenario, guys, is the fact that Cano's asking for $300 million, okay? Who out there, realistically, in the game of baseball, can pay $300 million. There is only one. There are only two teams that are in the discussion as far as I'm concerned. One is the Dodgers and the other is
Yankees.
The Yankees. Nobody else is going to cough up that much money. All they have to do is look to Philadelphia and Chase Utley and say, I wonder if it's a good investment. I think I'll pass.
Now, it does actually serve something for the Yankees to have received the Dodgers saying we're not going to go after him. But again, you know, that's to shut reporters up. But still, Magic Johnson has to learn that you cannot say that. This is not basketball. This is not.
You can't do it in basketball either.
Well,
remember they got fined. The Dallas Mavericks and
Cuban
got fined for Gwynn Dwight and Atlanta.
Oh, but that was different. He actually said it. He actually said, I want Dwight Howard. That was stupid.
And of course, Atlanta put out those press releases saying, you know, Dwight's coming to Atlanta. Buy your season ticket now.
Oh, that was also stupid, too.
That cost him $500,000.
Yeah. Sonny Clark, do you believe it's tampering, sir? I believe it is.
I believe it's Magic Johnson not being as bright as everybody thinks that he is. So Magic Johnson saying that, not knowing the rules, does not surprise me. I don't think there was any intention on putting it out there. You know, it depends on how they handle it. Are they going to handle it like a court of law? If they handle it like a court of law, you need intent. And believe me, Magic Johnson isn't smart enough to have intent, I don't think. So, and I'll just put it that way. I've never thought Magic Johnson was anybody should be talking about anything when it comes to baseball.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, Tim and I are going to sit on the sideline and watch the couch potato and the big dog duke out the intelligence of Magic Johnson.
Wait. No,
Sonny, Sonny, the big dog was right here muttering, oh, damn, our fighting words, and he put the dukes up. Kind of reminded me of Las Vegas all over again.
When it comes to basketball, the guy's a genius, but when it comes to baseball, all he has is money. He's not very – I don't think he's a very bright person in the first place, but that's just me. But when it comes to basketball, I won't question Magic Johnson. But when it comes to baseball, I question everything that guy does. All you got to do is look at the payroll.
Because allow me to paraphrase what Sonny just said. Magic's stupid.
Magic's dumb when it comes to baseball.
He expanded on that by saying when it comes to baseball. Cause when you say Magic's not a smart person, I'm like, I don't know. He's got like 100 businesses that say otherwise, you know, that he owns in here and in Michigan that'll say he's a pretty damn smart businessman. But when he expanded on that and said, baseball, okay, I'll give him that one.
That's not good enough. He called him stupid.
Sorry.
This is a pretty lame debate, Scorekeeper. I was expecting bloodshed or something. Like,
he's
come on.
He's trying to get me and the big dog to duke it out is what he's trying to
do. Ain't going
to
happen.
You know,
and I was ready to pay for tickets. In American funds, I was going to pay for the tickets, guys.
Ding, ding, ding. The MGM Grand.
That's it. And in this corner, we have...
It wouldn't happen, Jim, because it's Butterbean versus Butterbean. So, you know, we can't have to do that.
Actually, had they gotten into it, it would have been a wrestling match. It would have been a wet T-shirt wrestling match. It would have been a sumo match with butter.
Oh, man, you're not helping my breakfast here, Scorekeeper. Sorry.
Actually, I'm proud of the fact that I have been responsible for Tim McLeod losing his breakfast on numerous occasions.
Add it to the list. I don't know. I guess the coach and the big dog half naked wrestling, sumo wrestling. I don't know. That's putting a strain on the system, guys.
Yeah, that you need to get your eyes checked after that was done.
but we have to put out the fire because it'd be a grease fire also, Tim. So you know that's why we don't engage in fisticuffs.
Oh, chemical fire extinguishers in the house. In the house.
Ooh. Sonny, they would grease us down. Woo. No.
Yeah, watch out. Slip, slide in the way, as they always say. Anyway, I gotta get to the show. Or did you want me to call for transition or just go?
Let's do the transition this time. We'll go ahead.
Okay, very good. I'll call over and I'll be right back.
Thank you, Sonny. We do have Brian on with us right now, so we're going to be doing the transition to the couch potato. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday.
We wake you up, and of course, the couch potato brings it home. Nothing like sports on a Saturday morning. We're having a great morning, folks. So once again, we're going to do the transition over in a moment. We have the Southern gentleman, Brian Carvin, on with us, and we have the Northern gentleman, Tim McLeod, and it's really a special thrill for us when Tim calls in. He's usually called in for work in the morning.
Well, you know, I was supposed to be at work an hour ago. I hope you guys know that I am blaming you for my late start, but hey, I'm sure you can handle that one.
Tim, I will be glad to stand up for Union Brother. I have lots of vacation hours which I can donate to you.
He's denying the Canadians who ranch Doritos.
Well, that's good because we're going to keep it.
Well, yeah, the problem is they're on the truck. The problem is I'm not.
That was good. I like it. Any thoughts, Tim, on the playoff series that's coming up? Which ones are you paying attention to, you're really liking? Some things that have stood out for you?
Well, from my perspective, I'm with you. I'm liking the National League. I like watching the upstart Pirates. I like watching those kids go out there and give it their all. Hey, the Dodgers and Braves has me totally intrigued. I'm not so much interested in the American League this year. I don't know. Maybe it's Tampa Bay and Boston just hasn't caught my attention. And Oakland, Detroit, well, I don't know. I'm pretty much sticking with the NL series as gaining the bulk of my attention thus far. But I think, you know, obviously the Dodgers pitching has to carry them. Freddie Freeman's got to be hot for the Braves. Yeah, in the AL, hey, what Justin Verlander are we going to see showing up for his start? That's going to play a key role, I think, in the Detroit Tigers' fortunes. And when you look at Boston-Tampa Bay, if Tampa Bay learns how to field in the next few games, they don't have a bad team. I would hate to say it, but after taking that 12-2 drubbing, Boston better not get too overconfident because that series still needs three more wins, if I'm not mistaken. That's pretty much it for me, scorekeeper.
I appreciate that, Tim. But as a matter of fact, no. Aren't these short series? These are 5-game series.
Yeah,
are they? I thought they were 7-game series.
No,
that's until it started.
Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle.
Yeah, this is a divisional series. They haven't gone to 7 yet. There's still 5 games, and then you have the championship series.
And they will in the next couple of years. They'll realize it's more money.
Ladies and gentlemen, I do want to tell you that as commissioner, I do want to share the love that I believe, and I'm going to put this out right now, that as commissioner, baseball has reached the moment for expansion. And I will be targeting, yes, it is time for baseball to expand. And I would be listening to
expand the playoffs or
no to expand the league to the new teams.
Where and where?
The first one would be New Orleans.
Okay.
I want to go to New Orleans, and I'm willing to look at Memphis and Portland. I'm willing to look at whereas the team could be half the year in Memphis and half the year in Portland. And
it's not the Utah Jazz.
Anyway, but I am also willing to look at other cities getting a second team. Or even a third team.
You're talking LA.
I'm not so certain LA would get a third team.
Chicago.
But I'm funny you would say that. I am interested in Chicago possibly getting a third team because they've never had a third team. And can that city?
They need to get a second team first of all.
Well, no.
I was going to say that. They got to get two teams first, right?
As commissioner of baseball.
What about Canada? What do you mean Canada?
Well, I don't know if they have the base or a second team. Toronto cannot keep two teams.
No, you put one back.
In Montreal, I don't know. I don't see the Quebecis or Quebecois, whatever the hell they are.
What about Calgary?
I don't know if Calgary fit Tim. Is Calgary big enough to support a Major League Baseball team? No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. Montreal's lobbying hard, but I can't see anything happening there. But one city that you missed that I believe has one of the largest growth in the U.S.
until showtime.
That is getting completely ignored for some reasons that might not be valid is Las Vegas, scorekeeper. What do you think?
And I appreciate that, Tim. Yes, I didn't. I know it because of the gambling.
Gambling and poogers.
gambling on the hookers. But, Tim, I am also on the hot even agree. But I cannot play out my entire hand. But as Commissioner of Baseball, I am willing to look at, as I said, Memphis, Portland, and other cities that would be willing to consider. I would look at Montreal, but I would also look at Mexico City, believe it or not.
Yeah, hey, you know what? If you put a major league team in Mexico City, you wouldn't have to worry about attendance, I don't think. They'd be fighting for seats, scorekeeper.
They might be, but we're going to see. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be transferring over to the Capitol in seconds. Stand by.
Your show will go live in 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Blog Talk Radio.
Unmuted.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the transition here on the Couch Potato Sports Show from Sports Talk with the Guys. I'm Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports radio. Got the guys from the show this morning. Good show, by the way. Always entertaining. I even get up just for that show on Saturday morning. So let's bring in the guys from Sports Talk with the Guys. It's the scorekeeper and the big dog. How you doing, guys? Good morning.
That is, of course, the big dog right there. I gave him the moment, and he didn't take it. But this is a special moment. We're doing a transition, which we haven't done for a while, and we have special guests on with us, Brian Tarvin from Way In Sports. Now, I'm not going to do that intro again, you rat bastard. And, of course, we also have our, well, that was our southern gentleman. Now we have our northern gentleman, who usually isn't on at this hour as well, and that's Tim McLeod.
Our knucklehead.
Why did
you say that? Well, he might as well be our knucklehead. I don't know anybody in Canada, so, you know, there you go. But, hey, guys, you know what? I wanted to continue just really quick, because, and since we had Tim online, I want to get to that Detroit series. But what?
And Brian, we also have Brian on, but yeah,
and Brian. But I wanted to talk about the Detroit Oakland. I mean, I'm pulling for Oakland in this series, but I'm looking at this and I'm going, how the hell is this really going to happen? And that's what I wanted to talk to Tim before he had. I know he had the bail. That's why I was talking about Tim. So, what do you think the chances of Oakland getting past Detroit in this series are?
Well, I think if you look back to the beginning of the season, people were saying, "What are the chances that Oakland actually makes the playoffs?" And they did it.
Right.
And, you know, now they're in the playoffs. It's gonna hinge on their pitching and timely hitting. Josh Donaldson has had an amazing year, and if he can keep it up, they can get the hits at the right time. They play great defense. That series is far from being over. You're looking at a very, per se, generic lineup, but they've been playing well all year. Coco Crisp has been getting on base, stealing bases. The pitching has been incredibly strong. So I don't think you can quite write the Oakland A's off. One of my favorite young pitchers, Sonny Gray, has had an amazing run at the end of the season, and I think they're going to be counting on him to pitch very well into the playoffs. So, everybody ignored them all year, and I don't think you can ignore that team. They just play well as a team, Coach.
Yeah, and I agree with everything you said except the fact that they got Justin Verlander is going to be on the mound today for the Tigers, and that usually spells doom for any team. Never mind that you're in the playoffs. I think that this, you know, ups the ante on how well that this team can play. You know, with Justin Verlander on the mound.
Well, yeah, we've seen the good out of Verlander this year, and we've seen some bad. He's posted his highest ERA of his career, I believe, this year. And yeah, hey, if we see the Verlander that we've seen in years past today, yeah, Oakland's got their hands full. But I'm not ready to write the A's off yet. I think it's going to be a very interesting game.
I think it's going to be an interesting series. Go ahead.
you know, Oakland, if everything, I agree with almost everything Tim says, and I want to add this caveat, that there are questions with Detroit's team. It's amazing that they actually have two good pitchers, and one of them is, or two of them, both of them are not Justin Verlander.
Right.
The third guy. Yeah, guys, this is a third guy in the pitching rotation when you look at it, but obviously he is their number one guy, but he's having an off year. Oakland has been up against some tough teams over the years, and if Oakland has a chance, this series is far from over, guys. Oakland has a chance to upset Detroit. Look, Max Scherzer, oh my goodness, what a gem. This guy has been lights out all year, and, you know, he is a good guy. But Oakland has a chance when Max Scherzer is not pitching.
Right. And like you said, the highest ERA, 3.46, in his pretty much his career. Lowest strikeout rate as well at 23.5%. And then the lowest total since 2008. So, you know, slowing down in his pitching as well. So it is definitely showing. So I'm just wondering if it's going to be that guy. I'll shoot it over to Tarvin. Is it going to be, can he reboot himself as he was a couple of years ago to go into this playoffs? Or are we going to continue to see the same kind of thing that we saw all year long from Verlander, you think, there? Shoot that over to Tarvin.
Well, I just don't think you can change. I mean, I just don't see him getting back to his dominant self during this playoff, during this year. Something's wrong with Justin Verlander. His velocity is down. To me, his control's off a little bit. That's just not something you can tweak in a couple of weeks and make it better. I think something's wrong with him. They're going to have to figure it out. I don't see him getting dominant in this postseason, guys. I just don't think you can make a change that fast.
I'm wondering about what you saw last year in Game 5 against the A's, where Verlander threw a shutout in that game last year. It'll be interesting. I like this one. Go ahead, guys.
I was just going to say, I agree with you in that he's not going to turn it around, and I think there might be something wrong because the velocity is definitely down. Could be just part of the aging process, but it leads to the importance of that number three guy for the Tigers, and that's Anibal Sanchez, and he's had a great year. If he can sustain what he did during the regular season, that definitely gives the Tigers an edge, I would think, going into Game 3, which could be the pivotal game of the series.
Yep. I agree with you 100%. Braves, go ahead. They put together a victory, and so they even that series over there, and it's the Braves, and over as far as the guy who keeps an eye up on them every day, that being Tarvino. What do you think about the Braves in this series there, Tarvino, as they move forward into game number three?
Well, I mean, if they can beat everyone on that Dodgers roster besides Kershaw, they're going to win this series. So they finally got the monkey off their back. They had to win last night. The fans were actually very upset after the game one performance, the way the team just didn't step up. But it is Clayton Kershaw, for God's sake, the best pitcher in baseball. I think the Braves are going to go on the road, guys, and get game three, and they're going to at least force this game, this series, back to Atlanta. I look for Atlanta to win this series, and it's not because I'm a Braves fan. I just think the Dodgers aren't playing very good baseball right now. They have Kershaw, and that's the only one that I'm very impressed with. Hanley Ramirez is hitting, but I think the Braves have just enough to get past this series.
I like what's going on. I'd like to see – I'm kind of like living my life over as a young man there, scorekeeper, as the Pirates have made their way into the playoffs, taking on the Cardinals. I mean, I'm talking Willie Stargell. I'm talking Dave Parker. That's how old school I am when I take a look at the Pirates, and obviously they haven't been good since in reality. It's nice to see the Pirates where they're at right now, correct?
Well, as a matter of fact, thank you for that, Sonny. Everyone here, except for Tarvin, I don't know if Tarvin was born back then, but, hold on, yeah, I was about to say, well, wait a minute, Sonny, the late 80s, early 90s, actually, the Pirates were a damn good team. Yeah.
Andy Van Slyke, Bobby Bonilla, Barry Bonds, Doug Drabeck.
Yeah, there were quite a few guys on that team, but still, Sonny, I know what you're talking about Willie Stargell. We are family. I mean, Mother Sledge, I believe it is. I think it's just
Sledge. Sister Sledge.
Sister Sledge.
Oh, yeah. By the way, Tim.
Yes.
Tim, I knew the song composer.
Really?
To Sonny's intro song. To Sonny's intro, not Mother Sledge or Sister Sledge, but intro song for Sonny Clark today. Do you did you recognize who that was?
Well, that's the Nuge.
Oh,
yep.
He got it. He got
it. That's one of my favorite. It's one of my. It's one of my favorite guitar solos, and I said it last week. I mean, when I think rock and roll, I think a Stranglehold. Yeah, that's why. And I've been in a rock and roll mood, so that's why I threw it up. Some good stuff there, Ted Nugent.
Well, it's hard to put together a good solo in less than 27 minutes, and I think he accomplishes it in that song.
yeah, exactly. Stranglehold's about 8.5 minutes of a song. I love it. Good guitar stuff there. So, and of course we got everybody online here on the Couch Potato Sports Show. Really, no direction of the show this morning, because tomorrow morning that's when we take our direction into the NFL, where we take a look at any and all the games that are happening on Sunday. Let's go to the guys. What's surprising you so far here as we go into week number 5 of the NFL? What's really kind of a surprise? I think outside the Steelers, I think everybody's shocked at that situation. But outside of the Steelers, you know, what are some of the surprises that you're seeing so far this year? And let's go over to the guys at Sports Talk with the guys.
Oh, my God, Sonny Clark. I know what he's going to go to, but I have to talk about it now. I think this is the greatest injustice in the history of the NFL. It is unbelievable that the Raiders are now 1-3, Mr. Clark. You know what everyone was picking them to be?
You can't believe they're 1-3?
I cannot believe the Raiders are 1-3,
sir.
Can't
believe they won one game?
With the turmoil on that team, I cannot believe it. And I'm not going to take the thunder out of the big dogs, but I know that he is a Kansas City shocker story in the making right now. But I am aghast that the Raiders are 1-3. Big dog, what is yours?
Kansas City, you guys nailed it right on the head. Kansas City 4-0. Who would have thunk it?
Who would have thunk it? No one.
I mean,
that's
you know,
not a trick question. That's not rhetorical.
Everybody else always said they're always good on paper. They just suck on the field.
I don't think anyone has said they're good on paper for a long time.
A couple of years ago, they were saying they were at least an 8-8.
Was that before Tim was born?
Yep.
At an 8-8 team. A
couple years ago.
But, you know, this year, I don't know what it is. And, of course, the other one is, you know, how good is Peyton going to be this year? I mean, 16 touchdowns in 4 games.
But he now has the record.
His last game on Sunday, I think he was something like, I believe it was 28 of 32 throwing, only missed 4. I mean, come on. How good can this guy get? And the fact that he's 38?
Now, ladies and gentlemen, obviously last year was the recovery year.
No
shit. Man.
And, of course, the other one is Kaepernick. On the flip side, in his second year, he's actually looking like a rookie. He is going through the sophomore jinx, so to speak.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So, Tarvin, what are you looking at in the NFL? No one's hit my surprise, so don't think everybody will. But go ahead, Tarvin.
Well, to me, I mean, I know you might think the Giants, but I'm not shocked that the Giants are winless. But I'm shocked that the Cleveland Browns are in first place right now in that division. 3-2, they traded their best player away when they were 0-2. They won 3 straight. I don't know what's going to happen. But I am floored that Cleveland is 3-2 without Trent Richardson. What a story. I mean, I love the Cleveland Browns, what they're doing right now.
Well, here's the thing. They're going to have to get around Wheaton, because Hoyer's going to be down for a while, if I read correctly.
As far as they're
concerned. Yeah, exactly. He's on the shelf, and so I'm not sure how long. I did not get the specifics of that. So, Tim, in the NFL, do you keep track?
The NFL stand for?
Not for long.
I haven't watched a full game of football in probably 5 years. I haven't even seen a quarter of action this year, guys. I know it's blasphemy, but what can I say? I'm a baseball guy. That's it. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, you are, Tim, but we're not talking soccer. We're not talking soccer when you say football. But by the way, NFL for a baseball man, believe not for long before spring training arrives.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Go.
Yeah, you know, when they can find a way to hit that funny pointed ball with a 38-ounce Louisville 410 feet, I'm all in.
Got it.
That's funny. That's good.
Got to make the ball smaller.
And because of that, they invented a wiffle ball. But Tim is a big fan of rugby. He's also a big fan of soccer, and he's a big fan of baseball. And he does watch football from time to time. But oh, wait a minute. What's that dumbass? I mean, I'm sorry. What's that sport that they push something down the surface of the ice? What's that called?
Oh, curling. It's the best sport in the world. I'll tell you why, guys. There is no other sport, okay, where it is legal to get your rocks off, okay?
I love Tim.
So,
man,
ladies and gentlemen, I understand that curling is an Olympic sport, is it not?
It is. It's a clean sweep.
Yep, clean sweep, and they want to take wrestling out of the Olympics. That's real good.
Wait a minute. They want to send their baseball in the Olympics.
Well, Wilson was saying, so we'll be in the 16.
And baseball did not make it for Japan.
The 16 and 20 Olympics, it was saved, so wrestling will still stay there. I mean, I think that would have been blasphemy for them to take wrestling out. I mean, wrestling has been there from the very beginning, from the very first Olympiad, so that would have been blasphemy to take that out.
Now, Tim, we're not talking about America. No, I know, Tim. No, I just had to get one that in there. I said, Tim, now remember, when we're talking about wrestling, we're not talking about the marital affair of wrestling, so just remember that.
Yeah, I think rhythmic gymnastics is way more important than any of those sports, guys, really. Seriously, come on.
No. I think synchronized swimming is more important.
Well done, big dog. Well done, big dog.
Oh, man.
I think we should enter a team in the synchronized swimming. What do you think, guys? I can get some nose blood.
Yeah,
how about you?
Me and Couch.
Oh, God. That would definitely get it out of the Olympics.
Allow me to discuss all of you. Brian Garvin, Couch Potato, the Big Dog, Scorekeeper, and Tim McLeod. The North American synchronized swimming team. Yeah.
Talk about a blackout.
I'm in. I got goggles and nose plugs. Hey, just think. All five of us in Speedos.
Oh, jeez, that was bad. I wasn't going to go there, but I was going to go, well, at least with me, I mean, I would be the best synchronized swimmer because I, you know, in reality, fat people float, so I would be perfect for that. I never have to go underwater.
I can't swim, so knowing that I cannot swim, I've always said that Sports Talk with the Guys is the plover fish because we follow. Sonny, as you plow through the water, I'm cruising in on your wake, baby.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
man, we are creating a picture no artist could paint.
Yes, I'm thinking water wings, scorekeeper, water wings, you're in.
Oh, yeah, water wings for scorekeeper.
Yeah.
You know, of course, don't forget, though, I mean, if we want to win the gold,
but they
though,
have to be Yankee ones.
Because as we all know, it was because of Sonny Clark, the couch potato, that caused his daughter and her team to win their championship last year because of that one I was talking about, the double reverse back somersault with the tuck, but only in the Speedos, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Off a balance beam.
Brian is deceptively quiet. You notice Brian is deceptively quiet on this one.
That's because he's holding his hands over Cujo's ear and telling Cujo, don't listen, Cujo. It's okay, Cujo. Don't listen. Don't listen.
Definitely. Ladies, hey, by the way, scorekeeper, we can get you New York Yankees wings for you for your synchronized swimming, so you'll be okay.
Sure. I'll take the floaties. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of everyone present, we can't even say it. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the five gentlemen here, I want to apologize.
I can just imagine where the logo would go.
And forgive you. It might be in the backside. And forgive us. We ask you to forgive us for the images that we provided.
I don't. Why? They don't need forgiving. They should thank us.
They should thank us?
Yeah.
Why?
Why? Because when they get sick and they throw up, they lose weight.
Hey, that's a high five, big dog. That's a high five. That's a good one. What we're going to do now... Yeah, I know. Silence across the board. Brian will not get in on it. I think he's trying to cover... Oh, Brian can't...
He's looking for mosquitoes.
Brian?
Did we lose him?
No. I've been getting cut off a lot today. When I'm called in, I'll be listening, and it just hangs up. I lose connection or something. I don't know what's wrong.
No, but he's on with us. But what we're going to do at this point now, Mr. Clark, is we are going to go and finish up the program,
okay. And
then we're going to call in on yours. So would you put us on hold there?
All right.
Now,
yep. I put the scorekeeper on hold. There he goes.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a glorious morning. I do want to thank everyone. I think Brian already made his way on over to the cafeteria, and we're going to finish up right here. I do want to thank Tim. We are still live, and we want to finish it up. Tim, you know, dude, it's always a pleasure when you're on with us, and it's always a fun conversation. And I know, speaking on behalf of the big dogs, it was a freaking pleasure to have you on with us again this morning, pal. It was great. We hadn't heard you for a while there.
Well, thanks so much, scorekeeper. It's always a pleasure talking the game with you, talking anything with you, as a matter of fact, you and Big Dog. And, yeah, it has been a while. It's been a busy year, and I got to head out now and earn my keep. But, again, my thanks for involving me this morning. It was a great time, and... here's wishing you and the Big Dog all the best, and keep up the good work. It's always a treat having you guys to listen to on a Saturday morning. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Tim. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, you can find him with Rich Wilson on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific time, and you can find him at rotorob.com. He always writes some good stuff. You can always find him on Facebook as well, has some good commentary. And it just goes to show you, when he puts comments on there, usually I like him because I'm not willing to debate him on it because his conversation or his points are real good. He's a fantasy maven. Oh, and I did post on Twitter. If Lenny Melnick is the godfather. Yeah, you saw that. If Lenny Melnick is the godfather of rotisserie or fantasy baseball, and what is Tim? What did I say, Tim, that you are? I'm going to go to my Twitter feed real quick.
I can't remember. What was it now? I can't even remember. I just howled when I saw it. I appreciated it big time. It was funny stuff.
I'm going to see. I think I have it here right now. I'm going to my Twitter one. It was on my sports feed. I don't think it was on my Roger feed, but I'm going to go to that one right now. By the way, I did say Congress revoked the tax exempt status for National League football. Join us in that. If Lenny Melnick is the godfather of fantasy baseball, then Tim McLeod is the Rock Prince guru of fantasy baseball.
There we go. Well, I appreciate all the plugs this morning, guys. And like I said, keep up the good work. You know I'll be around Saturday mornings, even if I'm not in the chat room. Usually I find a way to listen in somehow. So, again, keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you, Jen, soon.
Tim, again, thank you on behalf of the Big Dog. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Long live Cherry Coke and Cool Ranch Doritos. Huzzah! I don't know. Don't care. Thanks, Tim.
The little Martian guy. Was his name Huzzah?
That was good. That was good, Big Dog.
Was it?
I don't know. I don't care. I just know the little Martian guy. Isn't that racist? No. Yeah. It's racist against Martians.
Okay, you're bad for Martians.
What a shock.
We are Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Money Money Quarterbacks on Saturday.
He is...
Yep.
The Big Dog, and I am...
Go!
We're out of here.
Formerly known as...
Thank you, Big Dog. We're out. Peace!